The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Driving!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellfish together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and the Patriots are coming off their third win of the season. First time they've been 3-0 since 2007. Things are looking up here. You know, everything we expected to happen has happened, but the Patriots are grinding through it. They're grinding through it. They're doing what they have to do to win games and setting themselves up for a great season.
What? What's that kind of like the next great tight end, Zach Sudfeld?
Who's awaiting
been
his first reception?
Three times, twice it's led to an interception.
All right, we'll be here until 2 o'clock. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number.
Oh, yeah, we had a complaint on the PPGS that
Italy
wasn't working.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll have to report that then.
Fat Albert can't call.
Okay, we'll have to report that. But Paul's here. Andy's here. Kevin's in the booth.
Do you ever prepare for a show and not prepare for the show to be at its best?
Do I ever prepare? Well, no, but the thing is, I never prepare.
That's so ridiculous. That's irresponsible.
Now, what are you referring to?
Obviously, I'm referring to you were very excited on Twitter yesterday about Bill Belichick's interview on WEEI, which is also technically on Patriots.com.
We talked about it the week before, and it just...
Michael Hawley thinks the next day is going to be the good one.
It was longer.
Yesterday was not the good one.
It was a longer interview than the week before, but boy, the first half was pretty embarrassing. It got salvaged a little bit if you're into nostalgia, because they talked about Lawrence Taylor and, you know, and that was good, but boy, I don't know.
Yeah, it didn't go well.
Yeah.
And, it seemed that the fall, you know, they asked basically Bill Belichick about kind of what we talk about all the time, Lou Holtz, you know, making the cupcake
right.
seem like they're not a cupcake. And, you know, why do you do that or whatever? And Bill answered it. And then when they followed up, it just seemed to set him up. What are you going to prepare for the other team to not play well, to turn it over eight times? You know, we're going to play a game that's just slightly better than their bad game. That's so irresponsible. He used irresponsible like it was.
Well, in fairness, he wasn't saying that their question was irresponsible, that they were. It'd be irresponsible as a coach
to do that. But it was very much seemingly targeted at Michael Hawley for bringing it up, and it felt like Michael Hawley was in the glare.
No doubt.
Explain that to me. Maybe you can explain it to me, how you would do that. Why?
We'll talk about all that stuff later, because that's all the media and media crime. But, you know, what we need to start off with is this big win
Woo!
By the Patriots, 23-3. Once again, I was right. Blowout.
Remember what blowouts used to feel like and what are blowouts
I don't
now?
Know. 20-point win is pretty good. It was reminiscent of, you know, 2003 when... You know, they would win these.
Now he's really cracking me up.
They wouldn't necessarily light it up on offense, but you knew the other team didn't have a chance. The other team just couldn't do anything. And I'm not ready to make any definitive statements about the defense.
Nor should you be ready.
You know, because of the opponents. But
so it's not 2003.
But
okay.
But it certainly was that type of game. And, you know, the defense hasn't given up a point in the fourth quarter this season so far. And, you know, yeah, opponents be what they will, but this, you know, you can't argue with what the results have been so far. Now, that could all get blown out of the water against Atlanta this week. But so far, so good.
They did their job.
Right.
Absolutely. They played crappy quarterbacks.
Right.
Questionable teams. They got the victories. The defense has done pretty well against those teams. They've had breaks. I mean, if Tim Dwight or Tim Wright, the tight end, catches a touchdown, if Vincent Jackson catches a, you know, it's different. But they didn't, and the Patriots made the plays they needed. I thought they did a good job against Doug Martin. Not dominant, but did a good job. I think he was under 4 yards a carry in the first half and, you know, sort of held him in check. Tlaib, I thought, manned up and was, as Bill likes to say, competitive with Vincent Jackson until he got hurt. Freeman, I think, stinks. He made some pretty bad throws, like a guy who completes less than 50% of his passes. I thought my biggest takeaway from the game, I thought the running back position was really interesting with Bolden coming back and having a big day. And I talked to Paul about this, maybe sliding more into that Shane Vereen role than I thought he was capable of.
I'm right there with you.
I knew he had somewhat diverse skills, but, you know, I think it's interesting, and he took full responsibility. He's lined up wide against Darrell Revis, which is a separate topic for me to discuss why Darrell Revis is staying out wide on Anquan Boldin. But
Brandon Bolden.
Anquan, I'd be okay
right,
with.
Right,
right. I think that'd be a waste, too.
And Brady threw it to him. And so, you know, there's some level of confidence there or something in terms of his skills lined up wide.
No, but I like your point of kind of sliding into the Shane Vereen role. And they actually threw to Ridley out of the backfield as well. You need that. This offense needs that outlet. They need that element of their offense. Otherwise, now you're really putting too much pressure on these young guys.
And they rolled them out there. It was, you know, a couple different times where it was Blunt, Ridley, Bolden, or Bolden, Ridley, like three consecutive plays. There'd be different guys on the field, and Josh just sort of unloading that depth that he
has. Yeah, I like that element of the throw to the halfback. And I think they need it, and it's good to see Bolden. Immediately he comes back, and that's how they want to use him. I like it.
And they need it. You know, as they're searching for weapons, you know, we should, obviously most people know, but Gronk didn't play. Amendola didn't play. So you're still kind of in that mode of searching for weapons, searching for your guys to make plays. If Bolden can give you some semblance of that, you know, 4 or 5 carries, a couple of them productive, 4 or 5 catches, a couple of them productive, that's an added element to the offense.
Yeah. Paul, do you agree?
I'm just wondering how much of that was Bolden and his skill set and what they wanted to do with him, or the fact that Washington wasn't active for the game.
Well, when Washington's active, maybe they'll use him that way.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm wondering.
Are you saying Washington's hurt and that's why he was inactive, or he just...
I'm assuming that
because he's on the injury report with a thigh injury.
Well, he was the whole time, and he played against the Jets.
But he got one play, I think. Two plays? I mean, he had one ball thrown to him, I think.
Yeah, he might have
one. He didn't play very much.
He was in there
less than 10 snaps.
I would say probably about 10 snaps.
You know, so I'm wondering if he's just not healthy.
Like, I'm not sure when he was out in Buffalo he was not healthy. I don't know. He had just signed. He might have just been inactive. I mean, all 3 weeks he's had the thigh injury, didn't play. I don't know if it's health or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just assuming it is, because why would you bring him back in?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know?
So he can return kicks later in the year.
Right.
Bill obviously poo-poos the early year kickoffs.
But, I mean, I'm assuming...
Gostkowski could put it out of the stadium and Bill would say, well, you know, it's early in the season.
I'm assuming this guy's going to play eventually, and the only reason he's not right now is because he's not 100% and we'd rather have...
So he re-injured it.
Yeah, he's not good enough at 90% to put him out there.
Yeah, you know? We did have a good... pre-game social discussion during the preseason, Fred, about Blunt and Bolden. And Andy and I, well, I was more adamant about it than Andy, but we were talking about our buddy Beetle, you know, Mark Bertrand, the host, just couldn't understand why we'd want Bolden over Blunt. He just does so many more things. Listen, he may not be, from a pure running back standpoint, he might not be a better running back than Blunt. I think he is, but he may not be. I think that's arguable, but Blunt does everything else at a reasonably high level that Blunt can't do. He can't get out of the backfield and catch passes. He's not a good blitz pickup guy. He's not any of that stuff.
You know, back in,
and he doesn't play special teams like Blunt does, except for, you know, kneel on the ball in the end zone for a touchback.
Back in the preseason, early August, I might have been like, well, maybe Blunt is, but right now, from what we've seen, I'd rather have Bolden.
Well, but don't poo-poo Blunt's role.
So basically, you're saying because he had that game on Sunday, you'd rather have Bolden. That's the first game he played.
No, now that I've seen Blunt
more.
But what did you
wait? But Blunt did his job on Sunday too. Yeah. They asked him to pound out the clock, and he did. He carried the ball 8 times on a drive, 6 straight times.
They got from
a decent,
like their own 20-yard
run in there.
Yeah,
pounded it out. That's his job. He's a big bruising closer.
Yeah,
I'm not impressed with him at all. But I mean, if you're asking,
now you're talking about Blunt.
Yeah. But if you're asking what he was asked to do on Sunday, he did his job.
Oh, he did his job. Yeah. But if I had to choose right now between Blunt or Bolden, who would you choose?
Bolden. And I would.
Right.
The whole argument that I had 3 weeks ago.
That's what I'm saying.
A little unfair, though. The guy's coming off a
great
game.
Yeah, well, I'm going
and
off.
By the way, it's
I'm
the going second off great of, game of his career.
Yeah, I'm going off of last
Shane
year.
He's a little like in that he flashes these and then he goes away for a while. We'll see if he can do this 2 or 3 weeks in a row.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm
not
going off.
Because the guy has
done
nothing consistently in his NFL career except not be on the field.
Sure.
I'm not going off of the game the other day. I thought that was, I agree with Andy, I thought that was his best game that we've seen him have, but I just think he's a more versatile player. He's a backup, so I don't need him to do the Bill Belichick one thing really well. He's a backup.
Right.
So I need him to do some different
Vereen's
things.
Out.
Yeah.
Well, he's more valuable with Vereen out than he is with Vereen.
That's true, too. If you had a healthy Vereen, maybe you wouldn't even have Bolden on the roster
that
right
could
now.
Be.
Who knows?
That could be. Now, if and when Washington comes back, does Washington basically take Blunt's place in terms of reps and opportunities?
Maybe he finds himself off the roster soon. Who knows? Maybe they think Bolden can do all the things that they wanted Washington to do. So why would keep
maybe
him
when
both?
Bolden's at full health, maybe he's back returning kicks. Oh, wait, he was back returning kicks, wasn't he? Wasn't he next to Blunt?
I don't remember.
I think he was next to
Blunt.
Yeah,
some of them would have had to be new because Slater's out.
I think he was next to Blunt. So maybe he turns into the on-returner. I mean, I think the one return the other day was just Blunt, but maybe Bolden rolls into that role. I think Washington and Blunt are very different, so to me they don't overlap at all.
I think they're very different too, but I think that they were asked to do similar things that you would ask Washington to do. Bolden was on Sunday. I think they're different kinds of
players. Washington comes back, does Blunt lose out?
Oh, Washington and Blunt. I thought you meant Bolden.
No. Yes, you're right. Andy's right. When Washington comes back,
to me,
Blunt.
Zero overlap.
Yeah, there's no overlap there.
They're not
going
to ask Leon Washington to do the 4-minute offense.
No, but they were also asking Blunt to return kicks.
Yeah,
so.
But that's
Paul has his own theory for that.
They traded a kick returner to Tampa Bay for this guy, so we got to make him a kick returner. We got to revolutionize football.
Your conspiracy theory.
I think it's just Bill's contempt for kickoffs at this point, the way it's treated.
But that's part of it. It's not hurting the team because he knows it's just going to be a touchback.
Right.
So I'm going to show everybody. And by the way,
speaking of
Jeff Demps, he's going to be active this week. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And by the way,
we
also haven't had the debacles that I've seen on highlight reels.
There was a safety in the first game of the year, right?
The Packers guy. Did you see that one? That's how the Bengals got the leader.
Oh, Jeremy Ross.
Was deep and the ball hit it like the 7.
You remember him, right? He was former Patriot training camp fodder.
No.
Jeremy Ross.
No.
You don't remember him?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
He sucks.
That's
unacceptable.
You know that he cost them the season last year, too, with that fumbled punt in the
You assume I know a lot of things that I don't
know. Well, I actually assume that you watch playoff games. I know you don't watch every game during the course of the season because we can't. We're here. But there are playoff games that we have the ability to watch.
I may have watched it. I may not have. I don't know.
Yeah, that Green Bay-San Francisco playoff game was very tight in the second half, and he fumbled a punt, and it was never close again.
Well, we all know that on Sunday there was better production out of the receiver position. But I thought, as far as Tom Brady goes, it was one of his more mediocre performances that I've seen in a while, particularly that stretch that ended in the interception in the end zone. That was 3 straight bad passes, but and it was all Brady.
Well,
I think so.
I know Paul will make fun of me, but I'm always hesitant to say 100% it was the quarterback's fault.
Yeah.
And he thinks it's because I'm a quarterback apologist. I just think
everybody's afraid to criticize Brady. Like,
see,
that's,
I'm not. That, I'm not
that's,
afraid to
that's
criticize
scathing,
anybody.
That's scathing criticism of Brady.
Right? It is.
It was one of his more mediocre
I just
games.
Know on an offense where everything supposedly is predicated on being in the right spot and drifting here, settling here. That interception was as horrific a throw. I heard somebody tell me, you know, to Brady trying to force that in there. I would have been happy had he tried to force it
he
in
wasn't,
there.
He wasn't.
He forced it into Mark Barron's chest.
Right.
I'm going to assume now that you didn't hear this based on your previous comment. He talked about it a little bit, and it was not intended for Sudfeld. It was intended for Dobson. He didn't wait long enough for Dobson to clear. It was a bad play by Brady. But it wasn't supposed to go to – Sudfeld was the closest guy. But you know how, like you just said, it was such a horrific throw? That was supposed to go to Dobson coming.
It's all Brady, and it's one of the worst throws of his career.
That's what he said on EEI yesterday.
Yeah.
It was a terrible throw.
No, but terrible is being way too kind to it. That never had a chance. That was Tim Tebow-esque.
Well, he said he didn't
that
wait.
That was essentially a Tebow getting it halfway to the guy in the flat. That ball never had a chance to get to the guy.
He said he didn't wait long enough for Dobson to clear it. He made a terrible throw. He also was very hard on himself on the play that we saw early in the game that we were looking live and we're like, my God, they had two guys wide open.
Yeah.
And then we had to see the replay to see if the guys on coverage left their receivers when they saw, but then we saw the replay.
And Brady.
And both Edelman and Tompkins had broken free behind everybody. Mark Barron took no. Mark Barron, by the way, another in a long line of overrated Alabama products based on the eyeball test that Andy Hart likes to use. Completely overwhelmed all day.
But Brady had a good explanation of that. He said it was kind of a trick play that the play's supposed to leave Sudfeld wide open. And so he was glued in that, but instead it left the other two guys wide open.
I thought he didn't do that.
Yeah, well,
no. I thought the number one receiver on every play was the open receiver.
We had an SPFW that sort of was critical of him for that. And he was expecting something based on coverage that he didn't get. Now, to Andy's point, you know, he's supposed to be the guy that, you know, understands the coverages and is able to adjust. Clearly, he didn't. He made a bad decision there to just. He obviously never saw either Edelman or Tompkins because it would have been an easy touchdown.
Good news is,
and you never see that out of him.
More than 50% of his passes.
And you know,
he did hit 17 foul balls.
And listen, everyone's numbers improved in the passing game, including Brady's. But I think that this was a rare game where we said Brady was off, yet the team won. In convincing fashion. So that's good news, actually. That shows you that, you know, that other.
That's Ron Borges's theory.
I agree then with Ron Borges because that's.
Just wanted that on record.
That's good news because it shows that other parts of the team were stepping up.
Borges was a little critical of Brady and he said that's a good thing. Because it's a rarity, or so it's a rare occurrence.
I agree.
Or something along those lines.
I agree then with Ron Borges.
You guys are usually like that, step and step.
I think of you guys as being lockstep on most issues regarding the Patriots.
Sure, absolutely. Yep, I have an article coming out in Rolling Stone soon.
I'm not sure we should be joking about such things.
He always goes to a place I don't want to go.
Dark, dark place.
Yes. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398, 855-PATS-500.
We do need to get your – Paul and I have discussed this, but there were a few issues that came up in the PPGS as we were reacting to news that was coming out at Fluid Situation pregame, one of which Rob Gronkowski, who didn't play, and okay, a lot of people had circled this
game. He
was
inactive.
Yes, I know. Thanks, Coach.
He was inactive.
Did you expect him to play?
He was inactive.
That's a yes-no question.
He was inactive, so he wasn't able to play.
But the report from NFL Network was that it's not the back that's holding him out at this point. It's the forearm,
right,
which is not back to full strength,
right,
which is concerning to me.
Listen, and you're going to make fun of me,
yep,
okay? This came from Rappaport.
Rap sheet,
you know. And to me... Okay, well, that kind of makes sense. And I know you're taking it that, well, why isn't that forearm up to strength yet? I think that if that got leaked out by the Patriots, I think it's to show everybody that it's not the back. The back is absolutely fine. And as a matter of just rehabbing, of course the arm isn't, because he hasn't been able to lift yet, you know, for a long time.
I don't take it that way.
Well, I know you don't take it
that
way. But
even if you take it that way, I don't understand why that would be in the Patriots' interest to say the back is why are the Patriots so excited about that?
Because we all know back injuries are more troubling than a broken arm.
I used to think that.
Yeah, well. But
a year later, I'm not sure I agree.
Don't worry about the back.
But it only makes sense.
I'm a Patriots fan, now I'm feeling better.
But it only makes sense if you weren't able to use your arm all summer. That it's still, you know, it's still not as strong as the other arm.
But you're taking strength to mean muscular. I'm not.
Yes.
I'm taking it bone.
Yeah, see, but it never said that, though.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was intentionally.
So you can take it that
way. It
didn't
say if it was painful either.
No,
it could be any number of things.
You can take it that way, or you can take it that, he's not.
So he needs to do a couple French curls, and then he'll be ready.
Yeah, exactly.
French curls. I like it.
Stupid.
Yeah. By this week, he'll be fine.
If that report, Fred,
he might be.
Because let's just say that it was Michael Silver that got this and gave it to Rappaport, or it was Rappaport, and he was talking to somebody at the Patriots. I can hear somebody from the Patriots saying, actually, the back is no problem whatsoever. He just needs a little bit more time with the forearm to get it up to strength.
Yeah.
I can just see that.
Yeah, I can't see the Patriots being the source.
Well, maybe not. That's just me. I'm saying if it was the Patriots, I could see that being said. Now, if it's not the Patriots, then we're back to Rob Gronkowski's father, maybe. I don't know.
But I'm saying for a team and an organization that last week you claimed, you know, was so tight with all their injury information and they don't want to get anything out there, I don't think that they would do that.
Even if it's an agent. Rosenhaus.
I got to think that Silver and Rosenhaus have some sort of relationship.
Yeah,
they're both high-profile party guys.
Again.
Been around a long time.
Again, everyone's assuming that, you know, it's the back.
I'm being
and,
nice.
And this could be an agent saying, actually, the back is as strong as it – he just needs to work on that arm a little bit more to get that, you know, back up to strength.
I bet his right hand gets a lot of movement.
Oh, come on.
Actually, probably not. He's Gronk.
So if you get
– probably the exact opposite.
I don't know if I take that as being as positive a development as you did. I don't know if I can wrap my head around that.
Well, the thing is it a negative development? I'm not saying, oh, this is great news.
I'm just saying,
is it a negative development?
I think it could potentially be one. I don't think it is yet because we don't, as you like to say, we don't know.
We just don't know.
But I don't.
All right, that's going to do it for PFW in Progress today.
Well, but I don't see how it's a good thing that the thing that has been bothering him longer is still the problem. I don't know how you can wrap your head around that being the good part.
Because, like I said, it is a muscular.
Just because the arm is a bigger problem than the back doesn't mean the back isn't a problem either. I don't know how you get to where the report said to the happy place that you somehow found.
But the question is, why is the report out there? Why did someone say what they said? And so you have to read into that.
I mean, maybe the back didn't allow him to lift soon as he wanted to start lifting.
It's like the whole Shane Vereen thing. You know, why was it so quickly out there that he broke his wrist early? Well, because his agent wanted everyone to know how tough he was. That's why. I think. That's why you get that info out there.
Maybe.
You know?
But again, I don't see how that gets you to a happy place. That's all. Injuries aren't good.
No.
Like I don't.
Injury's bad.
Well, we also don't know how the conversation went, and you know, and how what the interpretation of it was. Maybe Rappaport was looking for the negative and interpreted it that way.
Like for example, in this particular situation, if the report was he's actually recovered from the surgeries, but you know what, in his rehab he sort of tweaked the hamstring, and they're going to hold him out. That to me would be a positive injury development. You know, something, you know, that propped up in rehab, they just erring on the side of caution. But for the surgery that happened longer ago to still be a problem and somehow be regarded as a good thing. Now, if the report is right, I don't know. You know, just to set the record, Brady was sort of intimated, didn't exactly deny, but he certainly said that he hasn't talked to those guys in a while. Didn't say he didn't talk to them. Doesn't say that he didn't say that he hadn't tried to get the receivers back.
Paul's referencing the NFL Network report that Brady tweeted both Deion Branch and Brandon Lloyd personally about potentially coming back.
Right, you know, and so, he denied, by the way.
Yeah, kind
of. He says he hasn't talked to them, either of them, in a while.
Right. Did he text him?
Yeah. Well,
and Bill Clinton would say he was honest.
And what's a while?
Yeah, right.
That's, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Which I just want you to... I don't know where this story is exactly, but this is actually what I expected when Florio, Pro Football Talk, reported the Patriots were one of six teams that contacted Lloyd. I didn't buy it. And I said at the time, maybe Josh McDaniels said, hey, man, how are you? And the Lloyd camp, to promote themselves, whatever, says, well, the Patriots contacted me. So maybe it was Brady that said, hey, man,
how are
you?
What? I'm sure he has a camp. I think he's kind of a loner.
No, see, I'm absolutely with Andy on this one. We disagreed on some of the other things, but this one... He's trying to get a movie career going.
Right.
He absolutely has a camp.
Yeah.
And it's in his best interest to get that story out there because now I'm speaking to Brandon Lloyd. And we all did it for him.
Right.
We all wrote it. That's true.
It's his stupid zombie movie got more pub than it ever would have any other way.
That's true.
But I also, you know, Brady says, I don't know how these things get out there or something like that was the phrasing.
Yeah.
I do. Your best buddy in the media, Michael Silver's reporting it. Funny. Either call him a liar or stop being friends with him and hugging him in the locker room when he's here every week.
And that was kind of the way he denied it. I don't know how these things get out there.
I do. You hug the guy every time you see him.
So that's not denying it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He kind of denied it.
Right.
He kind of denied it, but he didn't say, that's wrong, that's false. I haven't contacted Deion Branch or Brandon Lloyd.
Right.
To me, that's denying it.
Now, there could be some gray area.
Absolutely.
Texting. What are you up to? You still in football shape? Now, that may be Brady just being fun. Like,
hey, we could have used you on Sunday.
Hey, how did that go exactly?
Right?
Getting back
to
the camps, a guy like Branch, maybe he's really jonesing right now. Maybe he's really missing. He wants that one more shot, you know? And he throws out there, you know, Tom did send him a text, and he's like, yeah, Brady texted me. He talks to Michael Silver. So maybe everybody's right. Maybe Tom didn't really reach out to him, but Branch really did get a text from him.
Right.
You know, so, and right. then Michael Silver is, you know, blowing it out of proportion as Michael Silver is wont to do.
Which right. muddies the water of my, I had a pretty good emotional rant on PBGS, because it really bothers me if Brady is actually reaching out to these guys. He's pulling the plug on the young guys.
Well,
he's
15 giving up, minutes, Freddie.
And it really, really bothers me. Plus, it flies in the face of him always telling us, I don't have any say in personnel decisions. I don't go to coach and say anything. Well, no, because you're apparently just making the first call before you even tell coach you're making the call. That really bothered me, but that's assuming he actually reached out to them in some sort of
right.
capacity of right. actually wanting them to.
Because in this day and age, it is going to get out there.
Sure.
You know, so.
Yeah. You, certainly, text is, I mean, it's on the record.
Right.
You know, somebody goes, no, really, look, this is what he
just
texted
ask
me.
Brett Favre.
That's right. Somebody saw it. You.
You know?
You saw Brett Favre's junk.
Well.
Well.
Jacob.
Who wouldn't want to?
Jacob from Denmark says, thanks again for a brilliant show. Am I the only Patriots fan who, despite a 3-0 start, is sitting at home with mixed feelings about this season? No, you're joined by two here.
Fred's on his way to MetLife for the Super Bowl.
I have a question for each of you.
Fred's scared, too. Fred had a lot of deep sighs in that game on Sunday, despite the blowout.
Question for each of you. Andy, can one of you explain why we have seen I formation with two wide receivers, one tight end, one fullback, one running back so much in the first three games? It seems like Devlin has played fairly well, but why use this old school formation so much?
Well, I think Josh has shown that he wants to use it on some level for the last couple of years. I think Devlin has stayed healthy and been pretty good. I mean, he had one the other day where he was a chicken with his head cut off. Missed a guy the first time, turned around to block him again, missed him a second time. But I think he's been okay, and I don't think they have this abundance of weapons, so they're not going to go, you know, three wide all the time or double tight ends.
The things that we've done in the last couple of years when we've been really high-powered is had, you know, Moss, Welker, Stallworth, Gaffney combinations, Edelman more recently with some combination of those. You've had Gronk and Hernandez
right.
with some combination of those guys. Why would you have wanted to put two backs on the field very often? Conversely, right now, it's Hooman and Sudfeld. Do you want to, you know, how many snaps do you want to take with two tight ends when those are your two tight
right.
ends? How many snaps do you want to take with three and four wide receivers on the field when you're going from Edelman, Dobson, and Tompkins down to Boyce and who?
Yep.
And they actually opened
you know?
In that. They opened in that four wide spread set with Bolden
with
as
those
the running.
Four
they had a nice
Bolden.
Little hit off of that.
So yeah. I just think Josh is doing a lot with personnel groupings. He doesn't, you know, the old Bill cover two. We're going to play 3-4 cover two, and you don't have the personnel to play anything full time. You're playing games,
right.
matchups,
right.
strengths.
And that's
schemes.
The thing that I was most impressed with on Sunday, and some of the Ask PFWs that we got this week sort of talked about that. Just how many different groups they had out there personnel wise. You know, give them a little time, too. You know, we keep focusing on Dobson and Tompkins, but, you know, don't discount the adjustment period for a guy like Josh McDaniels to figure out what exactly can I do with these guys? What do I have in Kenbrell Tompkins? What can he do? You know, finding what he can do well consistently. And, you know, Andy talked about James Devlin. The last year, they've seemed to have been really trying to find a fullback, like, you know, a real fullback that not just – You
yeah.
know, putting Aaron Hernandez in the backfield. Yeah,
it
was a neck roll and everything.
James Devlin is a old school real fullback.
You know, which the funny part about that, he's a real fullback who really never played fullback until he got to the NFL.
That's what all real fullbacks are.
No, but I mean,
he was a defensive line.
He's
some big guy that they said, well, he can do this. I love watching him play.
Question for Paul. Am I the only one who, fumbling problems aside, really like the way Ridley and Bolden hits the holes? They seem to hit holes fast, which almost gives one or two extra yards.
I don't know. Ridley was pirouetting into the
yeah,
hole
I,
a number of times.
I'm
yeah.
not that guy for you to back you up here. I'm not a huge fan of the run game per se. I think they're very average running the football when the other team thinks they're going to run.
Tampa's a pretty good run defense, though.
They're an excellent run defense, and they completely
yards.
Shut them down until they quit. You know,
okay.
at the end of the game, and even then, they really didn't do much. You
know,
they
had 100 yards in the
Fred
second
was,
half.
Fred was very upset when the Patriots were just running the ball on the line and Tampa was stopping them because he was looking for another touchdown.
I was. Question for Fred. Are we watching?
But anyway, on Ridley hitting the hole, which was the question, Andy just sort of joked about that.
I haven't said enough.
Andy just joked about that. He, you know, I actually don't like the way Ridley hits the hole consistently. There are times I like it.
Right.
Too much spinning.
Yeah. Fred, are we watching the end of an era or the beginning of a new one? I would say we're watching the end of an era. And the era ends when Tom Brady leaves.
I agree.
You know, whether Belichick stays or not, some people argue until he leaves, it's the same. No, it's all the quarterback. When a quarterback of a franchise quarterback leaves, that ends an era. That starts a new offense. I don't care who else remains. A quarterback of Brady's ilk, when he leaves, you start a new era.
What if Bill leaves? That ends the era.
Yeah,
too.
That ends another
either
era.
Either one of them, but to me, either one leaves, the era's over.
Now, what do you?
Because it was
right.
a duo.
But what did you think in 2008 though? When Brady's hurt and Castle plays, it was the same pretty much everything.
But we knew Brady was coming back.
No, I understand that. But I mean, what if whoever replaces Brady plays similarly to the way Castle did, and they're able to continue to win? You wouldn't consider that a continuation of a. Of the long era?
No, the Brady era ended.
The Brady era.
The Brady era ended, but I'm talking about the Patriots era of dominance.
Oh, well, I'm not saying that this doesn't ask, will they stop losing? It's just a new era. And a new era can be successful. I'm not saying that it has to be less successful, but when a quarterback like Brady calls it quits or gets traded or whatever, a new era starts.
Interesting that he throws in that gets traded or whatever.
Hey, I'm not ruling that out. Especially in those last 2 years of his contract. Very tradable contract.
I don't know, though.
No?
How's he going to get to his sports lifestyle center if he's not playing here?
He's got a jet. Question for Eric. Any progress with the ladies? We'll have to wait until Eric gets here to answer.
As Brandon Bolden told me post-game, I can speak for Blunt and Ridley. I can speak for Eric. No update. Nothing's happened.
He doesn't use those websites. You got J-Day, Christian Mingle, Meetup Muslim. He can't... He can't get on one of those and just meet somebody.
Yeah, Muslim.
Really?
What?
I wouldn't tell you what kind of car you have. My personal favorite is like blackpeoplemeet.com.
Well,
you see that all the time.
It's
farmers. There's a farmer.
Yeah, there's a farmer one.
And I don't even care that those exist. It amazes me that they're advertised in places like general media.
Yeah.
Like, I could see if, like, a farmer supply magazine had, like, you know, when you're done weeding, want to go out on a date, you know, go find a girl. But, like, on TV and radio, you hear ads for these, like, little niche.
Right.
And I'm, like...
And there's something for everyone. That's what I'm saying. Whatever he believes he is, there's probably some .com that can meet him up with someone who is the same as him.
No.
Or it says they are.
They broke the mold with him.
I don't know.
The nose broke the mold.
All right. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chris with the TINs on the line. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. 3-0 and feeling pretty good.
That's right.
Whistling past the graveyard, right?
Well, we'll see after these three games.
3-3 and feeling fine.
I'm full-fledged on the Freddie bandwagon. I just don't know. I don't know. I expected them to win all three of these games easy. They won one out of the three games easy, but they won all three. So now we'll find out.
I expected Atlanta to score a lot of points. They're not scoring a lot of points, and they're 1-2.
Yeah, the thing about Atlanta is, you know, I don't know if you can make the argument that they're catching them at the right time, or they're not. I mean, they're 1-2. They're coming off a loss, and they're at home. I mean, I know they're banged up, but.
Yeah, I'm not going to put too much into the Falcons game either. Either way, I'm going to sort of look at the totality of
play Denver, you're not going to be satisfied.
No. Like, but the totality.
You're the one who taught us wait till after the season.
I know. I'm trying to.
So
I'm
now
actually
Paul's
trying to give him credit.
To it.
If they go down to Atlanta and beat the Falcons, that's a big win.
Ooh, the 1-3 Falcons.
I didn't say it was. I didn't say it wouldn't be a big win. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I said I'm going to try to, instead of making a big picture judgment, I'm going to try to let the totality of, say, you know, the next month or so.
Next month?
No, the next 3-4 games, Fred.
Okay, all right, that's what I'm saying.
See what happens.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I don't think you learn much at all from the first three games, and you sort of said the same thing.
Right, I can't make any definitive statements.
Right, so I'm not going to just say, oh, they beat a 1-2 team, so now I definitively say they're a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, but that 1-2 team has some...
holes.
I'm just talking about the their offense...
is good.
On paper...
is,
you know,
good.
If you look at defenses or the Patriots in the past, would match up well. You know, and now we're going to see what they're going to do against this year's Patriots defense. I think it's a big test.
It is a big test.
I mean, the Falcons are lacking on defense. They lost their middle
line. Their whole defense is out. They lost five guys.
I'm talking about their offense against our defense. This is a big test.
Well, they also lost their running back, and one of their two prime receivers is a shell of himself.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, Paul never thought Steven Jackson was any good anyway.
Well, I never thought Steven Jackson was any good.
I'm talking about this year.
Well, yeah. Well he hasn't played.
Back, so he's disposable.
You know? Right. Well,
he runs the ball.
Who runs in the NFL?
In truth be told, I think Steven Jackson being out, if he ends up being out of this game, is a break for the Falcons because it will eliminate them running the football into a brick wall for no reason.
Are we boring
like
you, Andy?
Said last week. Yeah. I guess the positive I can take out of this is that, you know, 2 years ago, a year ago, when you had Chad Henne and Matt Moore and Rex Grossman and Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing for 300 yards on you, and now they don't. To me, that's progress. Now, they're not the 2000 Ravens, you know, 11 points average and giving up 11 points a game. They're not going to do that the whole year, obviously. But they are better than they were a year ago, wouldn't you say, defensively?
Right now, yeah, you'd have to, you know.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm. That's yeah. the only thing
see,
I'm.
I don't know.
I don't really know.
I mean, I saw them do this to Mark Sanchez last year. You look at the Bills game and the Jets game Sunday. That was an absolute horrible game.
The Bills lost to a team that committed 20 penalties.
Horrible, yeah. And we struggled against both of them. So it's hard to make definitive statements at this point.
And I also think, and this is not to pick on Christian. Andy and I were talking about this a little bit before. I also think there's plenty of examples of the Patriots doing what they've done to the first three teams to bad quarterbacks in recent past. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick threw for 300-something yards, and everybody leaves out the four interceptions that he threw when he threw for 300-something yards in that Week 4 game last year. Everybody remembers one or two really good games. Chad Henne didn't play exceptionally well against the Patriots every time. He had a game on the Monday night to open the season that he was terrific, and he had a game that Jacksonville game last year he played pretty well, but he also had others where he was a mess. Mark Sanchez beat them a couple of times, but more often than not, the butt fumble game is what you got from Mark Sanchez.
The big one is against the Packers when, what was it, Matt Flynn?
Right, but that's what I'm talking about.
He had that great game, and that kind of
How many
interceptions did he throw in that game?
I don't know.
Three.
See, he knows everything.
He thinks he does. Because people just have these blanket assumptions about everything. It's like when they played the rookie quarterbacks, everybody broke out all the stats against rookie quarterbacks. Well, how many of those rookie quarterbacks ended up having decent careers that they beat? You know, they beat Tyler Palko a couple years ago. Does that count? You know, Russell Wilson, he seems like he's a pretty good quarterback, and he beat him as a rookie. How many good quarterbacks? You know, Andrew Luck was a good, solid, you know, win over a rookie quarterback who I think is going to go on to have a great career. But not all rookie quarterbacks are the same.
I do think this defense feels like it's closer to where it was late in the year when everybody wanted to say it was good. And a big part of that is Aqib Talib.
I think he's the most indispensable guy.
Being able to say, Vincent Jackson, Aqib Talib, have fun, go out there.
Right.
No, it only ended up being a half.
Felger thinks that he beat him so bad that Jackson gave up in the second half.
Jackson got hurt.
I know, but he's saying
you could just assume that guy's unhurt. You don't really pay attention.
He said he could have played, but
analysis.
He basically gave up.
Yeah. Does Felger know whether he could or couldn't have played?
Michael Felger.
By the way, they're already in the process of analyzing whether or not he's going to be able to play next week. They're not sure.
He is such an unprofessional.
It's like when they, you know, he was ripping. Was it Wilkerson that got hurt in the last minute of the game against the Patriots? Last 2 minutes, and they carted him off the field. They carted him off the field to the locker room, and he's ripping them. That and a play, by the way, that cost the Jets 6 seconds.
You're not talking to Fred, are you?
No, Felger.
The man who believes that Eugene Wilson had surgery to further his...
And I stand by it.
But in Fred's defense, he does this to his own players, too. It's not just like a homer thing.
And as far as the Belichick interview went, I usually don't listen to those, but I actually made it a point this week because of what you guys said last week about how bad they are. And that was the most uncomfortable, one of the most uncomfortable. It was like being in a room with two people arguing, and you just sitting there not being
so listening to PFW in progress?
Yeah, and I'm laughing through the whole thing, and my coworker's like, why are you laughing? And all I can picture is the four of you watching this and the comments that will be coming out of your mouth. Oh. I was hysterical. Oh. See, that's, if I could ever do that one time, just listen to you guys, like, just sit in on an interview, I would die. And that's what I was doing. I was literally crying because of the smirky, smarmy comments that will be coming out of everybody's mouth, well, left and right.
But, Christian, we were talking about before the show started, I mean, as these interviews with EEI get worse and worse, don't you think people are going to listen to see what are they going to say next? I think it's going to, people are going to listen just to see how uncomfortable it can possibly get.
Well, I'll tell you, it was entertaining, so yeah.
Yeah. I really do. Maybe it's a plan. Maybe they're smarter than we think they are.
I don't know, but listen, he's ours, but he is very, very obnoxious. And this is the guy, mind you, that he wrote a book with.
I know.
That's the part of it that I can't escape. Andy and I talk about this all the time. I can't escape that.
There was a divorce there somewhere.
Yeah, something happened.
Yeah. All right, Christian. Thank you.
Was that in the studio? That was live, right? That was face-to-face.
Yeah, yeah.
Kevin, were you here for that yesterday?
What's that? Sorry, I just sneezed.
Were you here for the Holly Belichick?
Yeah.
How was it visually?
Awkward.
Well, like, I didn't think, though, that Bill was upset.
No, usually when he gets upset, they'll just get rid of him. And they'll cut the interview kind of shorter. He went for like 25 minutes yesterday.
No, I do.
What
I know
was it like
did.
At the end?
It was fine. He actually stayed in for like 5 minutes talking about Lawrence Taylor off the air and about how was one of the other linebackers he had? Was it like something Banks?
Carl Banks.
Yeah, Carl Banks. Talking about how like
so
Lawrence,
young
something Banks.
Well, no, you can't make fun.
He
of
was
him.
Talking about he was talking about something that happened in 1981, and I wasn't born for like 5 years after that.
You know who Carl Babe Ruth was?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
that's my go-to. I know that's my go-to to everybody. Well, I wasn't even born. You know who Babe Ruth was? Right. Yeah. All right then.
I know. I don't know Carl Banks, but I know Carlton Banks. That was
you
were. That was a plus. But anyway, so he spent 5 minutes talking about, and he actually, Fred, right where your head is, that like soundproof pad right there.
Yeah.
He was using that as a like a chalkboard. Kind of, and
oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, and was like,
so you should touch it. That's greatness.
Yeah, he was like, he's like, well, you got, you know, he's like, Lawrence could stand up there and completely identify what the offense was doing in 5 minutes, whereas it would take all the other backers 25 minutes. And he was just talking about.
Did you hear any of that, Andy?
Yeah,
the Taylor stuff.
Yeah, this wasn't.
Yeah, it was good,
but this wasn't on the air. This was like,
I thought the story he told about how LT could identify. You know, he looked at the quarterback. He could tell if it was a run or a pass because the quarterback looked at him different if it was a pass. I thought that was pretty cool. The rest of it put me to sleep, as it often does.
But he also, what I said to Chris Ferreira, Fred, who is well known around these parts to have a tonality problem, and he knows that. Belichick just has a tonality problem. He could say the same things he says in a different way with either a smile or just sort of a little inflection here,
right,
and it would be received and heard so much differently.
Yeah.
But the way he says things is like belittling at times or confrontational when I don't know that he means to be confrontational.
And also, he had just come off that thing with Breer. So it's like he literally walked down the hallway from that thing with Breer, from basically bitch-slapping Breer.
Holly should have said, hey, listen, just because you're mad at Breer, don't take it out on me.
Right. Well, I was listening to the press conference. These guys weren't. And I just warned them. I saw Bill. I go out there and I wait for him. And I said, just to let you know, like, this is what happened in the press conference.
I don't think Bill cared one way or another about the confrontation with Breer. I don't think Bill
thought it was
a confrontation.
I don't think he did either.
That's why I don't think he cares about the tonality, because it's just who he is. It's not meant, like Chris Ferreira is not meant to pick a fight.
That one, I agree totally with Fred, because that one's so easy. All you have to do is say, look, at some point when he's continuing to ask about those guys, I understand these are high-profile players and people want to know, but I'm not prepared to get into percentages of how close they were. They were inactive. That's the bottom line, is they weren't able to play. And that ends it.
Right.
That ends it.
Right.
But when you just keep answering, he was inactive, and the guy says, I know he was inactive, but how close was he to being active? And you just keep saying he was inactive. That you're sort of tossing gasoline on the fire.
One of those people should put together, because it was Bert that had the same thing. Put together some sort of a route. He was inactive. Same thing.
That would be good.
He was inactive.
But on both channels, Paul and Andy too. This would interest both of you because we get into this sometimes. But you know, it spurred debates. Felger and Maz were having the same debate, Holly and Salk were, about, you know, people will criticize, you know, Bill or Breer for asking that question, like, you know, he's not going to answer it, this, that, the other thing. But then at the same time, people will then criticize the reporter if you don't ask the question that everyone wants you to ask.
Right. Well, I have no problem with Breer asking it.
I have no problem with that whole thing.
I think what happened was like Volan tweeted at like Michael Hawley or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And then Michael
called them ridiculous questions.
Basically coming out of that break that Bill was doing what I was just telling you. You know, the producer goes, "Hey, Michael, check your Twitter or whatever." Right. And then so coming out of that, Michael went on this diatribe about
which was great. I thought that was the most compelling part of the whole thing.
Yeah. Ben Volan.
Because I didn't know, you know, and I like Michael a lot. I didn't know he had that in him. I was really happy for him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's ridiculous to sit there and just take something like that. And plus,
Monday.
He was probably a little flustered after the whole thing. And now immediately someone's coming at him. And he pulled the Paul and Andy. When we, you know, we're in the corner and we're just going to keep punching until we get out of the corner.
What would happen if Hawley showed up in an open locker room, the two of them got into a fight?
Oh, him and Volan?
Yeah,
I'd take Michael.
That would be great.
That'd be a flyweight.
No kidding. We'd have Eric break it up because he's the only one to be needed.
Check, check, check.
Mike writes in, "I'm getting tired of people talking down the defense. However they do against a real offense like the one they will face this weekend, that they can hold bad offenses to a few points is a very positive sign."
Yes.
"I remember when the Patriots would get lit up by the likes of Matt Moore and Dan Orlovsky. Limiting bad teams limiting bad teams is a big step in the right direction. I'm encouraged, and so should Patriots Nation. And P.S., do you think Brady is more than a little envious of Peyton Manning and his multitude of talented receivers? Welker catching TDs just pours salt on the wound."
Yes, I'm sure he is a little envious. Who wouldn't be? It's like when Adam Vinatieri used to talk about wanting to kick in a dome or things like. Players are aware that some places are easier or better suited to do their job than others.
Oh yeah,
right.
They're
now
human.
Manning's having fun.
I'm sure Brady was either watching or checking up on what happened in that Denver game.
He probably texted Wes. I wish you know.
And by the way,
XOXO.
That Denver offense looks
girl.
Unstoppable.
Yep.
I mean, the Raiders stink. So
I know
again,
the Raiders.
We can't make judgments on the Raiders,
and
but
they haven't played a good,
right.
a really good defense. I mean, that was the first game for Baltimore. And then the Giants are in disarray, and now the Raiders
right.
just flat-out
so
stink. So
it's
you don't
too
know,
early, but they but look good.
I've never seen so many guys that get that open.
Yeah, and I mean, that seems to be the way with Manning, even at the Colts. Belichick himself said it. Guys just seem to be wide open, you know?
And that's
we'll
what,
get lulled to sleep
and
by
that's
the
what we had,
histrionics.
And right.
And that's what we had here. I mean, like the last 5 years, I used to say all the time, like, how can Wes Welker get that open, you know? And that, to me, was the difference in that opening day game. Against Buffalo, is he didn't have all those wide open guys.
Right,
he was just Amendola was just making play after play in tight coverage and knowing he was going to get crushed.
The Raiders are horrendous, though. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, they're bad.
Well, did you see their?
But they played reasonably well in the first
11,
two games.
Yeah, 10 of 11 guys are
new.
Yeah,
that was an unbelievable.
That's
stat.
Ridiculous.
Lamar Houston's the only guy that was on the Raiders last year.
That's ridiculous.
Now Branch was out, so that would
have
been another one. But still,
10 of 11 is ridiculous.
But you know, I think. Nothing of the Raiders, you know that. I said I won't pick them all year, but they played reasonably well in the first two games. What was that last night? Like, they weren't even competitive.
Yeah. Well, Pryor's a pretty impressive athlete. You watch him move around and then throw the ball. Like,
did you see the play he made on the bad
thing,
snap?
But, I don't think so. I saw one, though, where he stepped up, bounce, and then hit a tight end in the hands with a perfectly thrown ball, and the guy just dropped. Like,
yeah.
When you're that bad, those plays end the game.
That's
literally,
it.
Like that. It just
right.
the balloon.
You can't afford that.
But they had a chance to win in Indy on opening. He got down to like the 20-yard line. They had a fourth quarter lead, and then they bounced back and had a chance to win it late. And then, I mean, Jacksonville stinks. And
no.
But they were able to.
The National Football League blows.
No, I know.
Everybody's within a couple plays. Bill's right. Every game.
But they weren't within a couple
plays.
Of plays last night.
No, I know. But for the most
about.
Part, the league stinks. We're getting to
but
my
he had
yearly
a play.
Admission that there's no great teams. There's no consistency. There's no measuring sticks. Whoever gets hot late January, I mean, in early January, is going to go to the Super Bowl and win. And you'll look down your nose at him later on.
Neil's in Montreal. Hey, Neil.
Not as good as the Brady rant.
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Hey, Neil.
Not bad. Well, I'm really glad the preseason's finally over, and now we're into the regular season.
It's like the old days when you had 7 preseason games.
That's right. I guess just a couple of things. First of all, I guess I'm not yet a believer in the defense. I saw too many badly overthrown balls or drops when players were wide open, and next 3 games they'll be getting competent quarterbacks and competent receivers. So we'll find out if they really have improved their defense. And I know you guys do agree. agree with that. The real question I'm curious, and I'll get off the phone after I ask this, is what record do you think they'll have in the next three games where they play at Atlanta, at Cincinnati, and then home to New Orleans? Because I'm pretty sure at that point we'll have a fair idea what type of team this is. I know that people like Green will come back later, and Amendola, who knows. Gronkowski will likely come back sometime in the next 3 weeks. So I'll just get off the phone. I want to know what each of you think we're going to do in the next three games.
Neil, before you hang up, yeah. Neil, let's just say 1-2. Okay? So that means the Patriots would be 4-2 after six games. What do you think that would say about the team?
Yeah, you can say that again.
You said you wanted to know what we felt. We'll have a better idea of what this team is after that three-game stretch. I'm telling you, hypothetically, they'll go 1-2 in this three-game stretch, or they'll be 4-2 after six games. What would then you think that you know about the team?
I would be relatively satisfied, because I know historically they're going to get better later on in the season, because that's what happens. I would personally be satisfied with a 4-2 record. I would be happy with a 5-1, and to me, if they were won all three, I don't think that's going to happen. But I would be satisfied with 4-2. I think it's a decent three-game stretch, relatively tough. They're not all together yet. The receivers are still learning. I would be satisfied with 4-2 at this point.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks, Neil.
Thanks, Neil.
Thanks.
All right.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I would too. But it also depends on how they, if it's 1-2, how they lost those games.
I agree with that too. Yeah. Were they not competitive in the two games that they lost?
Right.
Because that would sort of make me feel a little bit differently.
Right.
You know, if they were to get blown out by Atlanta and then blown out in Cincinnati and then come home and beat New Orleans.
Right.
I wouldn't feel as good about that 4-2 as I would if they just played three competitive games and only won one of them.
Yep. Is that where you have them, 4-2?
Yeah, I think they're going to lose two out of the three.
Yeah, I think the question is 2-1, 1-2. You know, how does one of those, you steal one, whatever.
Right.
I think that's where you are.
I think you'd be ecstatic if you could find a way to win two out of these games.
I'm not
as high on Atlanta and Cincinnati as some others are, but I do think they're good tests, like the way Fred put it earlier. I think it's a good offense that the Falcons have, so if the defense were to, you know, give up 10 points in a game like that, I think that would be an impressive statement.
Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, Phillip. How y'all doing?
Good. What's up?
I'm good. Okay. I agree with you, Paul. If they get blowed out 4-2, I wouldn't bang it that much. But if they play competitive, I'd be very happy with that also. Very much so.
Yeah. No, I just, I don't want to see like a 2009 when, you know, it was like 38-17 in New Orleans. If they lose, you know, two games like that, I won't be as rosy a big picture about the big picture as maybe I would be just to go 4-2.
I wouldn't either. I got two questions for you. Defensive wise, cornerbacks. I know Tampa Bay offense is sort of erratic at times, you know what I mean? Freaking one throwing it good, sometimes he didn't. But he still got 200 some odd yards on the corners, secondary. Do you think...
Well, that's not a lot. 230 yards is not a lot. That was a good performance by the defense on Sunday, Eldridge. Come on, you got to give him some props for that, don't you?
For the most part.
I mean, there was some missed opportunities for sure.
Most probably, but what I'm having a problem with is fast receivers. Even though they dropped a couple against us, our corners were like 3-5 yards off. That's what I have a problem with.
That's
at the line of scrimmage, you mean?
When they run their route, just about catch the ball. You know, a good example, Harrison got beat a couple of times. Huh? Taylor got beat bad. That guy just dropped a couple of, you know, number 19 was killing him.
Yeah, Williams and Jackson are good receivers. There's no question. The Patriots benefited from Jackson going out in the second half. And even at the end of the first half, Williams missed a series or two. He was dealing with something.
Yeah, he was hurt. He got hurt on that on that catch.
Then one of the fourth down stops was a blatant penalty. I got yelled at for this, but a blatant penalty by Dennard.
Who yelled at you?
On Twitter. I heard it on my Twitter was blowing up, as Fred would say.
Oh.
Because I tweeted, ooh, we got away with one there. Dennard with a handful of jersey. You would make that your first tweet of the game. I mean, anybody that was watching the game, saw that. Fred gave it a chuckle, and rightly so. I mean, that's a good break. It ain't a penalty if they don't call it.
But even though my only concern is his fast receivers against our slow corners. That's my only concern.
And Eldridge not sold on the secondary.
No, I'm not.
I think the secondary's been okay.
I think it's been okay.
We've seen far worse. We've seen far, far worse.
I think it's been okay.
2 years, we've seen far, far, far worse than what they're playing right
now. And I agree with Andy about Tlaib. I think Tlaib has sort of turned into the most indispensable player
this week
on defense. It's going to be tough.
Julio Jones.
I don't know if I like that. Just locking him up all day on him. I think they need to give him some help.
But it'd be nice if we could lock him up because they also, oh, by the way, even though Roddy White's hurt, he's playing. And Tony Gonzalez and Harry Douglas, if you can just take away Jones or
but
at least.
But you can't let Jones beat you, right? You can't let Jones catch 8 for 182 or whatever he caught that a couple weeks ago. 11.
It's your whole tennis thing sometimes, you know?
Right. You
do I really feel any better with Gregory and Dennard over there? Or is he just going to beat them?
I do.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Gregory and Dennard? No. Gregory and Tlaib. I don't want to. Tlaib's not good enough to lock up on Jones, is my point. You got to give him help.
By the way, we're in trouble elsewhere.
Speaking of Gregory, he's had a pretty good three games so far.
He was never as bad as everyone wanted to paint him out to be for the last offseason.
Right.
Everybody wanted to get rid of him.
You know, Andy called himself a quarterback apologist. We're also sort of Steve Gregory apologists. I didn't get the venom.
Right.
I didn't get the venom that he got last year. Can we bring up something that we didn't talk about after the game? Eldridge just brought up, you know, Arrington sort of chasing. He didn't play a whole lot in the second half. And then Logan Ryan got his first really extensive playing time. Do you think that's an injury thing, or do you think they didn't think he played that well in the first half?
I looked at it as just getting him some reps, Logan Ryan. I think they figured they're not going to do anything against us.
You think that? I don't.
I didn't really.
I think it was either injury related or performance related. I don't think it was let's get the kids some reps.
I'll be honest. Later in the game, I did think they tried to get Jamie Collins. I thought got some run.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the whole second half.
At some point, turned it over to let's get some guys some reps.
Yeah. These are valuable. Yeah, let's get them while we
but
can.
But I'm talking about they clearly he didn't play in the second half. I mean, I don't think it was just getting them some reps. It was only 17-3.
Yeah, but. It's a 17-3, like I said, like reminiscent of 2003,
yeah, Fred,
where
but you, can
you just knew that other
Fred,
team wasn't going to
you can say
win.
That, but Bill Belichick can't. Did you not get the chastising of,
but it was
of
your,
Michael Holly
that's
yesterday?
That's so irresponsible.
You can't coach a team that way.
Wasn't this a nod game?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For us?
Yeah.
Yes, but we're allowed to. Bill Belichick
but
can't say, you know what, I'm going to
nod games before they start.
Right, but Bill Belichick can't Bill say, doesn't. I'm going to get the letters for everybody on a 17-3 game. No, he never thinks the game's over. He's always counting possessions.
A little note from Pro Football Focus. Top five snaps played by undrafted players this year. Tompkins is one, and Joe Villano is five.
Oh.
Patriots have two of the top five undrafted rookie participations.
Now, let's go to the next step. Is that good or bad?
You're 3-0. It's fine.
Is it good or bad?
You're 3-0. It's fine.
Dan in Virginia.
So we're not going to answer the question then.
He said it's fine.
And he said with 3-0, it's fine.
Right.
Right.
I mean, they'd be 3-0 as long as Tom Brady is standing up. They'd be 3-0 regardless of who the other 10 guys were.
Two touchdowns from Kembrell Tompkins. You might not be 3-0 without those.
I think you would be.
Dan in Virginia.
I know you think somebody's going to catch the ball, but they didn't in the first 2 weeks.
And they won. That
they
got proves
lucky.
My point perfectly.
Well, they played crap.
Right. They played good yesterday, Sunday. They played crap.
Better.
I don't know. They lost to one of the teams that you liked.
Play that game. I don't want to play that game all year freaking long with the Saints and with the Niners and then the Broncos. And then it's just crap.
Why is it crap?
Because the league stinks. There's no consistency. That's my point. You don't know the team that's
going
to show up week
in
and week out.
So why are you exalting one crap over another?
What do you mean?
Why is Tampa Bay so much better than the Jets?
I think they're more talented. Far more talented.
Okay.
Individual talent. I think they have one, two, three weapons that would be far and away the best weapons on the Jets. In Williams, Jackson, and Martin.
I agree.
The Jets
had
zero weapons.
I agree with
weapons.
That, but I don't.
0.0.
I don't think they're discernibly more talented than the Jets.
I do.
I think those weapons are better than the Jets'
I think they
weapons.
They have a corner that would easily be the best on the Jets, Darrell Revis. I think they have a safety in Goldson that would be the best on the Jets. I think they have a linebacker that's pretty good in David.
Okay. I didn't see those guys on Sunday.
Dan of Virginia
just
writes in.
They go a week without making plays. Doesn't mean they're not good.
I don't think they're as talented as people make them out to be. That's
okay,
all.
Well, that's your opinion.
I certainly don't think the Jets are very talented.
I think the Jets suck. I think the Jets have about 10 NFL players on their roster.
But we can't
unfortunately, it's 53 deep.
But we can't say that they beat them because that's not allowed. I don't know. Why does that not count?
I don't get the question.
I can't use the Jets beating the Bucks as being any sort of evidence because that maybe the talent gap isn't that great.
No,
Tampa might have more
NFL
talent, but I don't think it's discernibly
I think
more
there
talent
is zero consistent football in the NFL. It's part of the reason why we always say Belichick and Brady have the advantage, because they do generally play consistent football. And that's why they're going to beat crap teams more often than not, because the other crap team isn't consistent enough.
Yeah, but I agree with all that. I think they're both crap teams. I agree with
that.
But somehow you're making the Tampa crap a lot better than the Jets crap.
I have
I don't
an opinion,
think it is.
Just like you have an opinion. No, I have an opinion but Tampa has more talent. It's just my opinion.
And I
didn't ask you to bow down to my opinion or anything else.
You don't have to get angry.
I think the Jets blow. I think the Jets were far and away the worst of the three teams they played.
If I'm allowed to disagree with you, you don't have to get
angry.
You can,
but I'm not allowed to tell you that I think Tampa has talent. Apparently.
And I agree with you that Tampa Bay has more talent than the Jets.
Okay, so what are we arguing about?
I just don't think it's as big a gap as you're making it out to be.
Okay, but I do think it is. So
all right.
We can just agree to disagree.
But again,
why can't we
you don't have to
opinions
get mad about it. And when I sort of
because you keep telling me, I just don't agree, and I know
well,
I don't
because,
care.
Because I'm trying to make an argument for it, and you just throw it out the window. It doesn't matter
right
if they
like
won.
You
okay
throw out mine not, out the window and
but
say
if we're
that
not
they're not more talented.
No, I didn't throw it out. I agree with you.
I don't agree with you that they're
more talented. And how did the Jets beat the Bucks?
No, it was irrelevant because they're all crap, and they don't.
Yes.
No one plays any consistency. Okay, so if we're just going to dismiss anybody's point,
I dismiss
that's
most
fine
of the league in September and October. I'll let you know later.
I know.
In the year.
I know
I'm
where
Brent
we stand now. It doesn't matter.
I think this league.
Wait
has
a minute. You're with me.
I was with you when you yelled at me earlier
think
in
the
show.
League is good enough to assess. I mean, even the Broncos look great. Okay, we'll wait and see. Their defense has some major questions still, in my opinion. Their offensive line could face questions. All of a sudden, if he's getting pressured, I mean, it's not going to look as easy right every week as it has so far.
Dan of Virginia writes
it. And plus, by the way, they've been good in the second half. They've even had halves where they've kind of turned it on in the second half through the first 3 weeks to light up the scoreboard.
Right.
Well, what happens when they face a team that also happens to
we'll
make adjustments?
What
or,
happens
or
if
play
they play
better
someone that's good offensively for all four quarters, not just a half?
Right.
Because Baltimore was really good offensively in the first half of that first game, and then they didn't do anything in the second half.
By the way, John Fox, I know he's lost weight, but does he look okay to you, the coach?
I didn't know John Fox had lost weight.
It looks like he did. I think I got a feeling he's not well.
It's funny. That, like
He doesn't look.
All the guys were talking about how he looks 10 years younger
right
because he has Manning and all these
well,
guys.
Well, no,
now
he's lost weight.
He's got Manning and Welker the last 2 years.
He
looks 10 years
looks
younger.
Different.
I didn't know he lost weight. I didn't know that.
Some people, I think, look older when they lose weight.
Yeah.
In a weird way. I don't know what.
Well, they start
think,
to sag
you know what's
a
funny
little.
Yeah. I think Rex Ryan kind of looks a little different than that, you know, having lost weight.
Yeah. Dan of Virginia writes, and Brady mentioned on Dennis and Callahan that he's not involved in drawing up plays. Is he being overly modest or is he really not involved? In the Football Life special on Belichick, he seemed to outline some plays in Bill's office. He's involved. Is there a concern about the rookies dropping off with the return of Gronk and eventually Amendola, or will the return of the vets allow the rookies to get open?
Gronk will make life easier on everyone involved on offense.
I can't argue with Andy anymore.
Right. Well, unless his forearm's weak, Fred. Unless he hasn't done enough of those French curls.
But it'll be okay because his back is fine.
Well, I have worries because apparently his forearm was weak the first time, because I've never seen a play like that where a guy sticks out his arm and his arm snaps.
Do the results of the weekend with regard to the Patriots and Falcons change your perception of their chance going into this game?
Not necessarily just the weekend, but Paul and I actually discussed this when we were leaving, crossing the long parking lot here at Gillette. I thought coming into the year, the Patriots were going to lose big in Atlanta. Loud plays, primetime game, high-powered offense. I even remember last year I was scared to death to potentially face the Falcons in the Super Bowl. I thought you'd get undressed because of their weapons. I don't feel as good about bad about this matchup as I once did.
Really?
Yeah. I just don't think Atlanta is. They don't have a running back. They have a little scat back who's going to be their lead back. They're not playing. They're not putting 35 points on the board. They're playing in the 20s.
Right.
You can win games sneaking into the 20s. You know, even if the Patriots' offense isn't great, you know, you get an Edelman return or something. You get a fumble, scoop and score, pick six. You know, Aqib Talib's foot flies in the air, knocks a ball free. Little things can happen to get you into the 20s. It's hard to sneak your way into the mid-30s, and I don't think Atlanta right now is proving week in and week out that they're the
Broncos. You think it's a matter of time, though, with that talent?
That may be.
Yeah.
But I thought I'd have already seen those. Like, I thought New Orleans was a matchup that defense lost, like, five guys in the preseason. They're not a very good defense. I thought for sure they would score 35, 40 points. Well, they have 17, I think. That's
yeah. And they had a chance to win it.
That's
the end.
In my mind.
Something's wrong.
If Jackson,
I don't know about wrong, but just not quite right.
Well, I think you're seeing that Roddy White's injury has been huge. Roddy White only has 7 catches. He's hardly played in the first three games.
Like, Julio Jones is really good. Tony Gonzalez is really good.
And
Harry Douglas is a pretty good player.
Well, I think that
are we forgetting how old Tony Gonzalez is?
Well, I think you're seeing Gonzalez a little rusty from having missed, but I think he'll be better as the season goes on. But
he's a young old.
Well, he's in great shape, you know.
Yeah, he's visited the Fountain of Youth.
Has Ridley been? He has great health. Great health. Oh God. Has Ridley been permanently demoted in the offense?
No. I don't think he was demoted.
No.
He had 11 carries. He didn't have the most productive day. It was 3 and 2.
You know, everyone screamed because Bolden started. He got the start. But I think that was part of what we were talking about earlier is they wanted to get him in the offense in more, you know, a little bit of that Vereen role, and they wanted to do it early.
Well, clearly they wanted to do that early.
Yeah.
Not even just the Vereen role. They wanted to go spread with the back, and he's
You can't
the back.
Look at who starts as, oh, Ridley's now number two.
The first possession, they started that 5-wide set with Bolden, and they got a first down on the first play, and then they went 3 and out. Then the next series, it was Ridley in there running the ball.
He came right back
in. First down, the next series, Ridley was running the ball. Now, they got one first down and went 3 and out again, so it wasn't any better, but I don't necessarily think he was demoted.
No demotion.
And I think that Blunt finished out the game because they play in Tampa Bay.
Could you please provide some clarity on what exactly is Amendola's injury? Some reports make it sound like his groin is going to have to be reattached, which makes me think about Fred's dream about Geno.
Well, I haven't seen a single report that said it had to be reattached.
No.
I think it was no longer attached.
Yeah, I've seen reports that it's the muscle has torn away from the bone, which sounds extremely painful to me, but I'm told is not
Everybody says it's
that
a good
bad.
Thing.
I don't know.
It's a good thing that it was torn.
You know, this is where, you know, our buddy, a doctor in Wisconsin, what's his name? Or Pennsylvania. Where's that guy?
Who?
The doctor that writes in all the... Sets us straight in the medical.
Is that Mount Sinai guy? I don't know.
No. Howard. Isn't it? No, Howard. I forget his name. I'm sorry.
Dr. Vinny Bop Boots?
Yeah, Boom Bots, not Bop Boots.
Dave in California. So I was a little disappointed last week. I wrote PFW for the first time thinking that Fred would read it. In that email, I stated Kenbrell Tompkins will have 2 touchdowns against the Bucks. I also sent another email on the next show stating Stephen Ridley will not fumble again for the rest of the year. Hopefully that comes true also. Love listening to PFW. Makes my workday complete. Okay, I'm sorry I didn't read your email.
It's funny, Andy and I had one of our typical, we both came away claiming victory. We were talking about who would be the, you know, better candidate, more likely to step up, Dobson or Tompkins. I had Tompkins. He caught 2 touchdowns. Andy had Dobson. He caught 7 passes.
Right.
I win.
You know, Tompkins needed 7 catches to get 3. I mean, 7 targets to get 3. He's right about on his pace of 2 for 7. Yeah.
But I think Brady
Dobson
had
needed to catch each of his
Brady
receptions
had a hand
at least
in
twice.
That one.
That is unique. Yeah. One of them needs a lot of passes to catch it. One needs a lot of catches to catch it.
Neither see. John Wright said, watch those plays again and watch the offensive line. Brady had a guy hitting him as he was getting rid of the ball. One time Ridley almost didn't move.
Which play are we talking about?
From beside Brady into front of Brady before the defensive lineman hit him. That does not excuse him, but it explains a lot. It also highlights my biggest fear, an O-line that even Dante can't fix.
Which play are we talking about?
I remember one play. Remember that play where I said, oh, I thought he got hit when he couldn't step into it, and then I realized, oh, he just didn't step into it. He could have stepped into
it.
Yeah,
and I made that
what
crack
play
about
was that?
He used to do that.
It was a bad throw in the red zone, I think, to the right
it was.
Side.
Yeah.
Don't remember which play it was, but I do remember you making that comment.
That last part concerns me.
There was some
Dante
pressure.
Can't even fix this. It's not a bunch of people you just got off the street. It's your first-round pick, your second-round pick, your $8 million, your $55 million.
And it's a line, by the way, that I thought protected a little bit better last year than it has so far through 3 games.
Yeah. Early on, they really struggled against the Bucks. I thought.
Yeah.
Pass protection.
Oh, yeah. He got sacked twice in the first 2 series, I believe.
And Ryan Wendell hasn't had a great year. Low shotgun snaps, erratic shotgun snaps, and bitch slap.
Yeah, and it's
bit.
Not even so much the sacks as I think there have been guys that have flashed. In you know, around Brady,
they flashed their sacks.
You know, we were talking about it the whole first half. It seemed they had guys around him, and that's, you know, that's got to at least be partially due to the indecision with the passing game, right? I mean, what has changed? They're the same players. They're probably given a similar amount of time, but
sure,
Brady's probably needing maybe another second to decipher exactly where he's going and where the kids are? I don't know.
The kids.
Nathan writes
in. It's coachable.
I tried calling, says Nathan, but Kevin didn't answer the phone. First, Paul, props to you. I thought prior to the season that the Buccaneers would be a lot tougher. You were right. They stink. When two poop-bump teams picked the home team.
Everybody was right on that one.
I was pretty happy with the rookie improvement, but I would have been a lot happier with a few catches from Sudfeld and Boyce. And lastly, Fred, I know that you have seen this firsthand a couple of years ago, so maybe you can help convince me. When we battle the Falcons, it's not Matt Ryan that concerns me, Steve Jackson, Roddy White, or even Julio Jones. It's Brian Finneran. Fred, how do we stop him? After all, he makes plays.
Maybe the Patriots should call him.
Sure, he's out there.
Well, they usually text first to gauge interest.
Good point.
Derek says, really, Fred?
And I actually thought the Bucs might cover, so I was wrong on that one.
Has Bolton always worn glasses, or were those fake glasses post-game?
I didn't see him.
Who?
You guys didn't see him, Bolton?
I don't know.
They had a very NBA
I was writing defense.
Look, those glass, like fake.
Horn-rim type of glasses?
I just don't remember him wearing glasses.
Did they have lenses in them?
There was definitely glass in them. I don't know if it was...
No,
like
I know they have fake ones.
Derek says, really, like Fred? Muslim meetup? I did a spit take at the gym. And Todd has another one, closetedcatholicartist.com.
That's good. Eagles at Dallas, Jags at Colts.
Why is Paul
reading the Denver schedule, Redskins. Doesn't appear to be overly daunting before the bye.
Stripper says, Tom Curran mentions below, between Edelman and Danny Amendola, the slot position in the Patriots offense has caught 37 balls for 305 yards. In fact, the slot position, by necessity, has been even more productive for the Patriots post-West. In 2012, Welker had 25 catches through four games. In 2011, he had 31 through three games. 2010, he had 26 through five games. In 2009, Welker had 26 in the first three games. Welker has been ably replaced, but nobody should be surprised. I have no idea what that means.
Tom Curran's contention is that they have exceeded the production of the previous slot man. I heard him talking about this on the post-game.
Isn't it unfair when two guys are playing?
I don't understand why it can't be Welker's 26 catches plus whatever Edelman got in last year, for example.
He only threw to Edelman and Amendola. Like, there were two guys who were his primary targets.
17 catches came when they were both on the field together.
That's not fair.
Right. And Welker
only catch once.
Right. Welker only had one. Now, the other part of that is if you honestly think that that's been more productive
Right
now, in the first three games, than it was in the last 6 years, then you're a bigger Welker
rump swab
hater than I am.
By the way,
because even I wouldn't make such a silly observation.
I answered your question. First in receptions, Julian Edelman, 33rd in yards.
33rd in yards, and I was very critical of the amount of quote unquote impact that Welker had, despite making all those catches. He made more of an impact than that.
And in part, thanks to that, Brady has a very very low ranking in yards per attempt. I don't know where it is. I'll find it later. Go ahead, Fred.
Dave writes in, and this has to do a little bit with Brady. Have you noticed the snaps to Brady in the past three games have been very low?
Yeah, Andy just mentioned it.
So far it hasn't been an issue, but I think it is something that needs to be addressed. I have noticed that.
Yeah. It was a big thing, a big talker in the first game. The Buffalo game, but it has been an ongoing issue. Andy just brought it up.
Yeah.
As Andy's pouring through his
pretty
stats.
Pretty sure I've actually been through the whole rotation once and can't find what I was looking for. Brady is 30, in average gain, I guess they use for the stats, 33rd.
Yeah, is that, do they have a per attempt listed there too?
No. All right.
Call it average gain.
I think that's
Mike is in Rancho Cucamonga.
Either way, he's 33rd in a league that has 32 teams,
and a guy who's generally expected to throw for a lot of yards.
And it's not just the other guys haven't been lighting it up.
No,
Tompkins is still kind of eh. Where's his number?
I mean, 25 completions for 225 yards. I think I saw a stat that only four of his passes traveled more than 10 yards the other day out of 36.
Completions, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Really?
Four of his passes out of the 36. It was a low number. It was less than 10, whatever it was. It was a very low number. and I don't know if that came from some official stat place or Pro Football Focus or somewhere else. I don't know where it came from, but I read that, I think, on the Twitter.
Mike in Rancho Cucamonga, California, says, do you guys think we can realistically beat the Falcons if we get consistent production out of Bolden, Dobson, and Tompkins?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, sure. Now, sure. Can they beat them if they don't get production out of those guys?
Bolden, they don't need Bolden production, but who are the
Tompkins
other ones?
Tompkins and Dobson.
They'll need production out of the wide receiver. I think they're going to need to score some points. I agree with Andy.
Can they not just beat them with Edelman and Gronk?
I don't think you're going to beat them 23-3. I don't think you're going to beat them 13-10. I think you're going to have to score some points.
You never know, though. They always
John says, I cannot pause the stream or stop the stream in iOS 7. If I go to the control center, I see the pause option, but I cannot stop it from playing. It does work. John, that is a known bug, and it will be fixed with the next update.
Which will be coming?
As soon as Apple lets us get it in the store. So it's in... It's being reviewed by Apple.
So you have to just you have to physically refresh.
No,
you send out to if you have that app, it'll give you the the update.
Yeah,
and you just update it, right?
But that's a known bug. So right now, if you're playing our stream, in order to stop it, you have to close the app. You can't just pause it. But we're gonna fix that. It'll be out in the next update.
When are we?
Could be any day. Could be next week. Depends on Apple.
When are we gonna get organizational approval to update our phones?
I don't know.
Because
my wife is raving about the new music, iTunes Radio or whatever.
Oh, yeah?
She really likes it.
I took Fred's advice, and he told me to just go ahead and do it, so I did it.
I just followed the email that I sent. I said, don't do it.
And I had been following that until Fred told me, don't worry about that, just do it. So I did it.
I also, I don't know if other people experienced this, but Fred, you tweeted out, or you guys tweeted out the link to Belichick yesterday.
Yeah.
And I listened to that on my phone, and I found a little bug. When your phone locks, because it was like a 25-minute interview, when your phone locks, it pauses the audio.
Oh, really?
So you got to unlock it. As soon as you unlock it, it starts up again. It plays again.
Okay. Can you?
I notified Chris.
Oh, good.
And they were trying to replicate the problem and come up with a beta solution.
Good.
He's such a loser. You wonder why I make fun of you with your ridiculous assertions about Tampa Bay's talent.
I want to know where the food is. It's 117.
Didn't he just go?
I think he just went to get it.
Did he just go?
Yeah, when he leaves.
See, if it's Omega, it's much faster.
Yeah, but it's not. It is faster. It's just not any better. I know you think
cookies
so
put
much
it over
better.
The top. If it's a direct comparison,
well, it is no question that
the
Omega gets
are
here faster.
Definitely a plus.
Omega gets here faster. I can't argue with that.
Well, they're closer,
right?
They probably take the Putnam Parkway in.
Tim in
by
Baltimore.
The way, I could not take that out the other
night. I knew you couldn't because when I went that way on Ring Road, that was blocked off.
Everything was blocked. It took me 20 minutes to get out of this.
Took
me 20 minutes to get off the grounds the other night.
I went all the way down to Bass Pro and out that
way. Actually, I'm glad, that night you guys left Sunday night. I left after you and I couldn't go out P1 because there was an accident.
Yeah, right. The guy told us. We were walking
The guy
across.
Told us and he said we couldn't
get it. It wasn't you guys though, obviously.
No. We were told. But I looked around and I go, oh, probably because of the blue lights. And of course, Paul was, I'm going to take some guy picking up cones, tell me what
to do. So I'm walking back and there was a guy who, you know, no offense, but he looked like he just crawled out from under a rock.
He's
like picking up the cones and he goes, you guys aren't going to be able to go out that way. You're going to have to go around. So I look at Andy and I go, now we're taking orders from the guy picking up cones.
He's such a baby.
I didn't say it like a baby.
I actually liked it. I zipped right out the Bass Pro exit.
But like, why? You mischaracterize everything.
How did you get out?
I went around all the way, like around Ring Road to get to like Patriot Place.
Right.
And then all those entrances when I was passing them by were all closed. So I didn't know. So I ended up going all the way back around to like the cinema, and I tried to go out that way. And the guy stopped. There was a cop there, and he said, "You can't go this way. You got to go back." I said, "Do you know the?" And I asked him. I said, "The best way to get to Route 1 North from here." And he goes, "If you just go back around where you came from, back over on the other side of the cinema, there should be one of those entrances." And I finally found one. But
how was there an accident like in the driveway?
And there were like almost no cars. There was like one police car there with sign. I think it might have been sort of
a one car accident.
And I wonder if maybe I think it was gone, but I wonder if maybe they were doing some sort of, you know, investigation, you know, that,
right.
You know, like little CSI action. You
Although
know?
Sometimes people do try to go right on the,
I've seen that. Because I end up going the wrong way on Route 1.
I didn't see too much activity. It is, you know, for it to be that serious of an accident that you couldn't go out that way.
Right.
But it probably took me like 10 minutes. It wasn't like that. It wasn't that bad. I just went all the way around the stadium.
It wasn't woe is Paul time.
Oh, no. And it wasn't that going to the car either. I was just making
picking up cones.
I was making a crack about the guy picking up cones. And I did, by the way. There was no lights on in the back I had a park in the way back, and I had the umbrella out waiting for some animal to run out of the woods like it did last week.
They're as afraid of you as you are of them.
Oh, no, that couldn't possibly be the case, Andy.
Tim in Baltimore.
I was on my toes, head no swivel, as you say.
I want to complain about the fact that my poor mom, who lives in Windham County, Connecticut, couldn't watch the Patriots game because Fox was broadcasting the Giants game.
Wow.
I wouldn't have been so bad if Fox would have switched games when the Panthers started blowing them out, but the fact is they left that game on for the entire 3.5 hours. I know that nobody considers Connecticut part of New England, but it is part of New England, at least east of the river. I just because you think we all work for insurance companies and listen to Brass Bonanza is no reason to force us to watch that awful game.
That sucks.
Anyway, here is a quick question. Would you rather be the 6th seed going into the playoffs and have a healthy Gronk and or Amendola, or be the 1 seed and go into the playoffs with a hobbled Gronk and or Amendola?
6.
I would rather be the 1.
Without them?
Yeah.
Or hobbled?
I'd rather be 6.
Yeah, I didn't say without
six
him. I said a
full
hobbled.
Go Amendola and Gronk. I'm going to get hot, kick ass, and win a Super Bowl in this crap-ass
league.
I'm
not winning 3 straight road games.
Everybody else does it. Why not us? Why not now?
LT from Adelaide, I just wanted to share a thought or two about our team's defense and see if you guys agree with me or not. You guys have always said that the defense gets better the longer the season goes on and that the football team plays its best in November and December.
That might be the thing to be most excited about.
We are still working on how to take it deep into January and February. With that in mind, I think that this year's defense is further along than it was last year, and that the improvement we see down the stretch leads me to be excited about where this team is going to end up.
Yes.
What do you think is the ceiling on our defense this year? Can we become elite towards the end of the season as the playbook opens up?
Yes. I don't know about elite, but good.
I don't know about a playbook either. Because I actually think they've been pretty creative. It's something that Andy and I have talked about. I think they're doing some things differently up front to get some pressure. Don't you think, Andy?
Yeah. Some twists, some stunts, moving Chandler Jones inside a little bit, being a little creative. I like it. And we always complain early in the year, why don't they do this? And I think they've been a little bit more creative this year.
I think we've seen a little of that.
But now part of that may come from what we're talking about right now. The starting point was everybody had already played for you, except Tommy Kelly. But you had all your guys back, and maybe they did start off at a further point in the playbook and comfort level in the defense, and maybe that's why we're seeing that.
All right. Dan the Byman writes, and after watching the second time, I must say Dobson had a great first half. I haven't seen the second half yet. It looks like the two rookies are getting there. Perhaps by midseason they might be high-powered offense again, plus Gronk will be back on defense. It played okay from the start, but played better as time went on. Now we finally have a full team with balanced offense and defense. I don't think they'll lose the Atlanta game. I now can't wait for them to play Miami, and I'm scared of Denver. Can our D hold Manning down? They have two Thomas, a Decker, and a Welker, who used to be ours. And here's my question. Will Denver break our record, and will Manning break Brady's record?
I don't know. He's got 12 touchdowns. That's a good start.
Right. He's on pace for a lot. And I assume the record is 16-0. Is that what he's talking about?
I think he was talking about the offensive
record. Oh, just the offense?
And the touchdown touchdown pass record for Brady. Which,
I
by
would
the
say
way,
no, but.
Here's another rant. Manning set an NFL record with his 12th touchdown pass last night. Most in the first three games. Where are these records from? Who cares what the record is for the most touchdown passes in the first three games?
They're releases. That's what they make.
Okay. Rant over. I won't.
All it is.
It's not that important.
You used to call it an SID stat. It's a PR stat.
It's like below an SID stat. Who cares?
What do you think about Brady's?
And I know we broke Brady.
Breaking Breeze's 54 if he does
that. To me, that's different.
You think that's impressive?
Yeah, it's like a hitting streak.
That's a lot of games.
That's a lot of games to throw a touchdown pass. That's a legit. That's not an SID stat. I mean, I don't want to come off as the arbiter of what's important for a record and what's not. But
why stop now?
All right.
I think that's legit. And by the way, Brady had the record that Manning broke.
Right.
Brady had 11. So I'm not.
It was like 2 years ago.
I thought
right?
that was silly too. I'm not trying to be a homer because it
wasn't 07, right? It was a couple years ago.
I don't know.
All right, let's take a break. Food's here. Got to eat. And then we'll have a big finish.
The word off season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a Triple Play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I got her part. Knows her for.
She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos. I like disco. I'm not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller Coaster of Love.
All right. Back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 or PATS, 855-PATS-500. Or you can email us at webradio@patriots.com. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. And then it's John Rook with his women's glasses and the playbook.
His headlights.
And then fantasy football champs. How you doing in your fantasy league? If you need help, these guys can help you. I know personally people who have taken their advice and are winning their leagues because of it. So there you go.
We have an important announcement, or we have to pump something for Brian Morey. Thursday night. Paul, what time?
Night.
Early evening.
Yeah.
Dante Hightower will be the speaker series guy at the hall at Patriot Place. And tickets are available at the hall at patriotplace.com,
yep,
or whatever their,
yep,
website is.
Yep.
And go out. Hear Dante Hightower, Patriots linebacker, talk.
Yeah, that's always good. It's very intimate.
Yeah.
It's in the theater inside the hall. It's a 150-seat theater. And so, you know, and you're going to get at least one autograph of him. So that's cool,
Plus,
too.
You can ask him anything.
Right. It's more, you know, what is said in there stays in there. So
did you get paid at Alabama?
Right. You know, that kind of thing. So that's a good take whenever they do the speaker series at the hall. And that's this Thursday.
This Thursday.
The hall at patriotplace.com. You can buy
tickets. 5:30.
Presented by
Raytheon. I think it's a little early because of, you know, the players get off earlier now.
Mm-hmm.
So usually it's like 7, but I think this one's at 5:30.
It's a little earlier.
Yeah.
Fred, give us our weekly Hightower update. Best game of his career?
A little bit not as good as the game before.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. But still progressing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Part of this whole defensive progression.
We did see the return of Brandon Spikes this week. Significant.
Yeah, he did okay.
PT.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Had one of those stops.
Yeah.
Fourth down stops.
Big play.
Yeah.
That's what he's there for. Andy talked a lot about the Bucs three receiver package and how the Patriots would go about that. They clearly, in the first half, went base, and then when the score dictated in the second half, it was more nickel. So you saw more Brandon Spikes, and that's what he does. He stops the run.
It's a good matchup for him. Doug Martin, Brandon Spikes, run, bang, bang.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's going on, guys? You know, real quick, before my thoughts on this game, I wanted to welcome a new listener, Michael Hamm in Maine. This guy's an awesome sports mind and by far the most elite of the PFW elite. But just wanted to welcome him into the show, being a proud member of a listener group here. You know, real quick, I just wanted to say, fans, you know, guys, it feels great to be 3-0 after this offseason. You know, I'm just really, really happy that we're able to get this kind of start, knowing this big stretch coming up. This defense is looking promising, and I got to ask, guys, do we sign Tlaib, or do we, you know, do we wait and see? I think we wait and see, but I'm feeling great about his leadership back there. Real quick, you know, I'm impressed by it because TB had an off day, you know, and in past years, we lose this game. I mean, that's really what I'm left thinking is that, you know, the team is absorbing the burden on all facets of the game. LeGarrette Blount, man, this guy, he can close out games, and we're seeing that. We saw it last time. I know we played Tampa, but guys, I'm telling you, the strength of this guy is going to be in the fourth quarter. I mean, he's there to beat up defenses once they're worn out. Got to say, way to go to Bolden for stepping up. Great to see him being more versatile again. But what I really like, guys, is that this team is showing me some fight. And, you know, just feel real encouraged. We're finally going to see what we're made of in these 3 weeks. So that's all I got. Go Pats.
All right, Chester. Thanks for calling in.
I think Chester calls late night shows too. He has a late night.
Well, he knows how to do it. He gets his take in, and that's it.
National type JT the Brick caller,
yep,
or whatever.
Yep.
Bamming. Get it done.
Aramir from Connecticut writes in. Hey, Aramir.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I'm a big soccer fan, and since I've been in the States, I'm a huge Patriots fan, and. I was a little upset that Fox decided to show those stinky Giants this, you know, this weekend.
Yep.
Can you guys tell me where, you know, I'll be able to, you know, to catch the whole game and or like a replay with NFL Network show it one of the days? I believe on Wednesday, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not sure when the Patriots game is going to be replayed on the network. I'm not sure.
They don't play every game, do they?
No, they don't play.
Then
every
I don't.
Game.
Yeah. You know, a 20-point game.
This
would make
game,
the
they
cut.
May not.
You know. You could always sign up for the Game Pass. I believe.
Well, Game Rewind.
Game Rewind
is the best thing. Do you have an iPad, Aramir?
Yes, I do.
Well, go to NFL.com and look up Game Rewind. This is a cool app that you can download, and you literally can watch any game you want after the fact in its entirety. Not only as the broadcast showed it, but then you can watch the all 22 coaches view. So, and you can actually do your own type of telestrator. It's a really cool app, but it starts with just being able to watch the broadcast after the fact. So Game Rewind is the way to go.
All right.
All right.
Wait, before you go, do you have Patriots Football Daily as well on your iPad?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Take care. It's fun to listen to you.
All right. Thanks, Aramir. That's Aramir from Connecticut. I really do feel bad for all those, you know, Southern Connecticut people who are forced to, you know, call themselves Giants fans because, you know, the league dictates it or whoever, these networks dictate it. They should be showing Patriots games.
The league dictates
It's New England. And, you know, it should be the Patriots.
Well, did you see what that Orlando station did when they have to show the Jags game and there was another good game on? They actually had a scroll saying, you know, by rule, we have to show
well,
you
because
the
they were getting so many calls.
Right.
That's why.
But they should probably do that, too, for Southern Connecticut or whatever.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, it sucks if you're a Patriots fan and you're down there, but...
I'm being a little sarcastic.
No, I know you are because they would be getting just as hammered if they put the Patriots on, and the Giants fans in that area would not be able to watch the Giants. Although this particular week, I think they may have been thankful.
Charlotta is writing in from Stockholm, otherwise known as Michelle.
Charlotta.
A reporter, can't remember who, tweeted out that he can't remember when Logan had such a good game last. I know when Brady holds on to the ball because he doesn't trust his wide receiver, running back, tight end, it's a chain reaction and protection eventually breaks down. But I'm worried about Vollmer and his walking boot. I'm worried about Wendell and his low snaps. Honestly, I never thought I'd say I'd be worried about the O-line, but I am. What do you think? If we can hang with Atlanta on the road in a dome, I'm officially a believer until we meet the Saints at home. Thanks for a friendly banter, and this week I won't miss the Wednesday show.
If Vollmer's injury is interesting, now he did come back to the bench. I don't know if that means anything, and then he was seen in a walking boot after the game. But as we've talked about, walking boot does not necessarily mean anything. It's like the first line of defense for anything, ankle, foot, anything down there. They immediately put you in a walking boot to let the injury calm down. It takes all the mobility out. But... I would be a little concerned because I think I'm not the biggest Marcus Cannon fan. So long term, you know, not necessarily this week, but against the Bengals, a very good defensive front, very physical defensive front that can bring it a little bit with Dunlap and Johnson. I mean, they have a very, you know, interior guys. So that's going to test this offensive line. And I don't know how good I'd feel if Marcus Cannon was out there for that. But, we have no idea. It could be a minor thing, and Vollmer could be back out there.
Right.
Svitek, too, is banged up, has had that knee injury, hasn't been out there. I'd probably feel better about him at right tackle against the Bengals, but I don't know if he'll be at full health either.
I saw Vollmer on the sideline, and he was on one knee, you know, in front of the bench.
Certainly doesn't seem major.
I think if he had to play, he probably could have played. But
and if it was major, he wouldn't have come back out of the locker room and been on the sideline.
Right.
He would be doing whatever they needed to do to move forward, cast it, whatever. So
right.
I tend to agree with you. It doesn't seem like a major injury, but that doesn't mean it's not an issue, too.
Anthony from Toronto says, yes or no, does Gronk play Sunday night?
Yes.
You say yes.
I said yes last week.
Right.
I didn't know his forearm was still weak.
So you haven't learned from that.
So now I'm just going to say no forever? Eventually he's going to play.
I'm going to guess yes, too.
You're going to say yes?
Yeah.
What are you going to say? Nothing, apparently. Get off the fence. It's a yes or a no question. He's inactive.
Good I radio. Say no.
Good radio.
I say no.
He needs to do a few more French curls.
Yep. Let's see. Juve writes in, how many people will fit in a 150-seat theater? That's a joke. Father.
Depends. Are they built like Eric or Paul?
What? He's sending in, like, jokes. Father, son get into an accident. Father dies. Son's in critical condition when arrives at the hospital. Surgeon says, can't operate on him. He's my son. How is it possible? I don't know. It's raining here in my office today in South Florida, smelly and rainy. So he has nothing to say. He's just writing in things.
He just made Fred upset.
Nick in Seattle.
You got under Fred's skin right there.
Listening last week when the news came down that Brian Hoyer was going to get a start, Paul seemed to have some underlying animosity toward Hoyer. What did he do to you, Paul?
Not at all. Absolutely. To the contrary. I don't think he's a very good player, but I'm very happy for his success. Andy just put it perfectly. One of the nicer guys that has come through that locker room. No animosity at all from here.
We didn't answer a question that was posed earlier. Do you sign Tlaib now, or do you wait?
That is an interesting question.
I wait as long as I can.
It's also a two-way question. I mean, would Tlaib sign now? He's leading the NFL in interceptions.
Feels like he would, doesn't it?
I don't know. Well, you know, it all gets down to the number. If they offer him 3 years, $15 million with eight guaranteed, let's give him the exact contract for Nick.
Can I ask you something?
What, Paul?
And I'm not sure you have the answer.
Probably not.
We signed him in March, maybe April.
Yeah.
Can we sign him again? Can we re-sign him again?
I believe so.
You can redo the contract once.
You can't change anything for this year.
Within the first year.
Right. But I believe you could sign him to an extension. Don't hold me, you know, life to it.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I was asking. That was not a
but if you're him,
loaded question.
He has an injury history, but he's playing well right now, leading the NFL in interceptions. What would your – you like it here. They like you here. You've kind of rehabbed your entire image, I would say, since you've been here in less than a year. You're looked at totally differently. I mean, players talk about you as a leader, hard worker. You're parking up front with Brady. You know, you've rehabbed a lot of your image. Would you be looking to sign for just market value? Would you give a hometown discount, or are you looking to break the bank? Where, if you're Aqib Tlaib, where are you on that spectrum?
I think you hold out. I think you know your worth, and I think you want top corner money, whatever that is.
Well, that's the other question. What is that in the state?
Right. I don't know.
There were a lot of 1 year deals this year for like $5 million and, you know, limited money.
I mean, who makes the most? Revis right now?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
But there's been some big deals. Dallas signed what's his name for $50 million a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, last year? And
Carr, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's big money contracts.
Strippers, what's the top cornerback contracts out there
I would guess it's Revis, but.
Well, give me the top five.
Because Revis, remember Revis had that weird, like.
Because remember, you could franchise the guy, right?
1 year renewable, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny because everybody talked about Ninkovich, Spikes, McCourty, when really, of all of those guys, you could argue, as Paul said, that Tlaib's most important. You know, the position he plays, the ability that he has.
Yeah.
Now, I would argue Ninkovich is first on my list just because, you know, good guy, playmaker.
He's signed, sealed, and delivered.
Right. So now you move on with your cap money. Where are you going?
Yeah, no, I'm not necessarily saying he's the best player. I'm saying that he, I think, impacts how they've played since he's been here. I think he's changed the way they play. I don't think Ninkovich changes the way they play. Now, maybe he would. He's so durable and so consistent, we've never found out.
I'll tell you one thing. If they put Jake Beckett on the field, it might change the way they play.
Why are you talking like this?
I really don't know.
Well, you missed it, Fred. I had this. Jake Beckett played relatively early in the third quarter, fourth quarter, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And it was surprising to see him out there. I mean, I didn't really know what to make of it. And then they took a timeout, and Bill came out on the field and was one-on-one talking to Jake Beckett. And I turned to Paul and go, you know what he's saying right now? This is why you don't effing play.
Or I said, why did you go out there? You weren't even supposed to be out there.
I wanted to play, so I told him to put me in.
Right. Higgins and Hopkinton writes in on the topic of Devlin. Is he really better than John Connor? Watching the Terminator on Hard Knocks, he seemed to execute almost flawlessly. How good is Devlin in relation to the other fullbacks out there, or is it a price thing?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
That was like 5 years ago.
I know.
Well, no, wasn't.
Is John Connor on the Bengals
now? I thought
now?
He got cut by the Bengals this year.
Oh.
I think he's out there.
But I think he was on the Bengals.
Let me apologize. I didn't know that. That's my bad.
Hard Knocks. I may be wrong, but I thought I heard that he was
I just thought he was talking about the Hard Knocks with the Jets was like in 09.
That was a while ago. That was Danny Woodhead era. See Woodhead with he was involved in the little pitch when they tried to run.
Yeah.
It didn't work. Philip Rivers.
I know, he just kicked
the ball, basically saying, we give up. We're done doing this stupid stuff. Let's go home.
Let's see. Pat in Agawam. Good afternoon, guys. How the heck are you? I wanted to touch on a few subjects today. I've noticed a lot of negativity toward our defense so far this season with fans whom I talk to or the ones that call into sports radio stations, many of whom claim that our Patriots have played a few cream puff teams, so you have to take what our defense has done so far at face value. Lest we forget how 2 years ago we couldn't get off the field on third down, or how we made the likes of Chad Henne and Rex Grossman look like viable NFL quarterbacks, or how we'd give up 300 yards games to Mark Sanchez like he's John friggin' Elway. The majority of fickle fans need to chill the F out. We're beating teams that are supposed to beat, and our D is setting the example. When was the last time we could say that with some form of consistency? Let's not also forget that when our championship teams from the early 2000s would play good quarterbacks, we didn't always shut them down. I mean, Drew Bledsoe killed us opening game of 2003. Give me a break. I know that the real tests are coming with Ryan Breeze and even Tannehill, who's playing surprisingly well, which should be a good barometer for this defense. I think we'll get through it and would be surprised if they drop more than two of their next three games. I'd like to let you all know that I reserve the right to change my mind during the course of the season with my Super Bowl picks, as I'm inclined to change them without notice. That being said, I'm sticking to my Indy versus Seattle pick for now. I'll tune in next week and quite possibly give you my revised prediction, as I tend to overreact like most prostitutes do as well. I don't know. I mean, prostitutes? I'm not sure.
Just oozing confidence.
Do prostitutes overreact?
I don't know. I just mentioned to Andy off the air. I've been a little surprised the amount of people not necessarily buying the defense as well. I think that there's certainly reasonable doubt there, because you have played three really bad quarterbacks, really bad teams. And you've also, I think, within those games, not really at times looked as good as the results would show. You know, for example, on Sunday, a terrible offense drove the ball inside your 40-yard line on its first four possessions and came away with only 3 points. That wasn't necessarily a great defense that caused that. They missed a chip shot field goal. They dropped two different touchdown passes. They came up with a huge fourth down stop that Brandon Spikes made. That was a big defensive play. But I'm a little surprised that fans aren't more excited about the defense. I think the defense has been a little bit better, and I think it's not perfect, and we don't know yet because they haven't really been tested, but I was surprised that we've had as many people as we have talking about the drop passes and the missed opportunities for the other teams.
The top cornerbacks, by far it's Revis, and then it goes in this order according to this site, and this is APY, what's something per year. Average per year. Bailey is two, Brandon Carr, Cortland Finnegan, and then Jonathan Joseph. But in terms of guarantees.
Yeah, remember Revis signed that like 1 year renewable deal?
Yeah, I mean, he's got no guarantees, Revis.
I believe he has like $16 million per year, and it
that's correct.
Renews every year.
That's correct.
Because I remember thinking, like, What are you doing?
And yeah, he's probably hoping that they don't renew.
The total value of Revis's deal is $96 million, which is by far and away more than any of them.
Yeah, but he's not
But in terms of guarantees, Brandon Carr has the most. $25.5 million of his deal, $50 million deal, over half is guaranteed. And then right after that, Courtland Finnegan and then Jonathan Joseph. Champ Bailey is above them in total value but has less guarantees. So there you go. Thank you, strippers, for sending us
that. I just wonder what the, you know, obviously there was no market last year, apparently, because he came back on a one-year, $5 million deal.
Right.
So I wonder what the market value of Aqib Talib is, what his mentality is in terms of his own value, and then the Patriots' mentality. You know, are they judging him solely on since he's been here? And since he's been here, he's been great. So
that would be my guess.
They don't feel a risk. You know, they're not looking at him as a risk, a red flag that cuts into his value. I think it's interesting, all three values that would come into play there.
Would you give him a little bit more, maybe annually, for a short term?
Sure. Sure.
John in South Carolina reminds us that Game Rewind also works in Chrome, which makes it work on most platforms. I've accessed it on a Google tablet, Windows, and a Windows tablet. You made it sound like it was just for iPad. You're right. It does operate on other.
It operates on anything.
Yeah.
It's web-based, right? I mean, you can log right in on any computer and get it laptop.
And John in New Brunswick tells me to stop chewing. Was I chewing into the mic?
I could definitely hear something.
Why did you say something?
I didn't know it was you.
Because it's not the first time.
I usually
and
move
earlier,
the mic
you were
away.
Breathing.
Well, I can't stop that.
You were like this.
Yeah, but you should be able to stop, you know. Sitting at a standstill, you know, and
you
breathing
like
heavily.
You sound
like
you just walked up the Empire State Building.
I'm getting tips from Jack LaLanne Perillo over here.
But see, that to me is the frightening part for you, is because I'm as out of shape as anybody could be, but I don't breathe heavy when I'm sitting
down. Yeah,
but
all that weight of his shoulders pressing down on his heart, it makes it hard to breathe.
You know what I'm saying, Andy?
They say belly weight is the worst weight, but I think shoulder weight's really bad, too.
Howard from Stratford, Connecticut says, Paul just said they would be getting equally hammered, this being Fox, if they showed the Patriots as opposed to the Giants.
In Southern Connecticut.
Connecticut. That is an incorrect statement, as here in Fairfield County, i.e. southwestern Connecticut, you can get the feed from Channel 5 in New York, which is the Fox affiliate. The whole Fox 61 Hartford issue is a Western Mass, as there are apparently many New York Giant fans there, too, according to what they have told me in the past. Bottom line, I could have watched Channel 5 out of New York or Channel 61 out of Hartford on Sunday and saw the Giants game.
Okay, well, there are people that are writing in that evidently didn't have that option. Am I wrong on that?
Well, no, but their complaint is they're getting two stations that are playing the Giants.
They're both playing the Giants.
They would like the Connecticut one to play the Patriots because they're getting the New York one that plays the Giants.
Yeah, but my point is the two stations aren't – is it the same company?
No, but they're Fox stations.
Right. So, but it's a local affiliate.
One's a New York affiliate. One's a Hartford.
So
affiliate.
Obviously, what the game they're picking is the one they think is going to get the bigger rating.
Oh, I don't think they get to pick. I think it's a league area.
Yeah, I think so.
Rule thing. I think it's an NFL mandate.
No,
in Western Massachusetts,
you don't think the affiliate gets to choose.
No, it's Connecticut we're talking
about. He just said something about Western Massachusetts.
Well, there's also an issue there with overlap. But you get a station. Like, people in Massachusetts, like where I live, get Rhode Island stations.
Right.
Like, you get your Providence whatever stations. So, in Western Mass, you may get your Connecticut station. You're closer to the Hartford.
Right.
So, if the Hartford one is playing the Giants or whatever, you're screwed. Because you don't get your Boston stations unless you do some special.
Oh, no, I get that you're screwed if you don't get access to it, but
I don't think it's a, I think it's a league thing. What do they call them? Territories or whatever overlap.
But my only point that I was trying to make, and I don't listen. You sound like you know a lot more about it than I do because you have.
That's usually how it is.
Well, because you have the two options.
Because
where
it
you
used
live.
To be great. They've since screwed us for a while. I forgot there was a point in time where I was, you would get like a ton of games because New Providence and Boston would have different games, so I'd get to pick like different double headers, and it was like wow, like your mini version of the Red Channel, Red Zone, or whatever. And they've changed that recently. You don't get as many double dips.
Alex,
the only thing I was trying to say was that I think that whoever they showed, they would get complaints about not having the other one on in that area. If they're that close that territorially they have to by NFL rule show the Giants, And you think if they put the Patriots on, they wouldn't be up, the Giants
right.
fans
right.
wouldn't be up in
no,
arms?
No, but if all those people
be.
Also get that other channel, they can watch the Giants automatically on that channel. The people are complaining they're getting double Giants. No Patriots.
That last email.
No, I get that, but if it's a rule, it's a rule. I mean, what are you going to do about it?
Well, complain.
Okay.
It's like when we make you park somewhere and you bitch about it. It's a rule. It's a rule, Paul. You got to park in spooky words.
Or you could just continue to say I'm bitching about it when I'm really not.
Alex in Philly writes, and I suppose the reply from Lloyd to Brady's text went something like this. Can't play, world in danger, have to kill zombies. Sorry, Tom. So much for that plan. Anyway, the league stinks. It seems like you guys say this every year, but this year it may actually be true. I mean, half the league is either winless or has one win. Brutal. This makes me like our chances even more in why I wasn't screaming for them to blow up the team like Fred believes most of us are. About the game, somebody finally
can
caught
I have a
the-
quick question?
What?
Doesn't that then mean that half the league has no losses or right. one loss?
Right.
Well,
right.
anytime you do any of those early in the year,
right.
well, that's my point.
Somebody's going to lose.
I mean, there's probably half the teams
Hello.
At 2-1 or 3-0 or 1-2 and 0-3.
Right. About the game, somebody finally caught the passes. The run game returned and the D continued to roll. Do you believe this D is legit? Also, does Brady seem as sharp as he usually is? He seems a little off to me. He's been missing a number of open guys lately. And lastly, is Gronk the only tight end on the roster? Can no one else play the position? It's like they're invisible. So we dropped to 3-0, continuing our slide as the offense continues its slump of not scoring 30 points yet this season. And with the entire Patriots Nation griping over our struggles, wondering if Brady is now Skyping with T.O. Wow. That's a lot there.
It's my quarterback.
I don't think that Brady
in
that last game, Brady was not sharp. I thought it was one of his poorer performances that I've seen.
Wow.
And yet they won, which is
poor. You
good
thought it was
news.
One of the poorer performances yeah. that you've seen from Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Like right up there with his like four pick games that you know just disintegrate. It was up there with what, one of those.
Well, it was pretty bad.
I don't think it was his sharpest effort, but I don't think it was anywhere near one of his poorer performances with a 92.9 passer rating.
Yeah, I think he...
And I'm not willing to go to the point where he's like the problem now. He's the one who's off. Let's let this offense settle in for a few weeks and figure out what the receivers are going to be. I mean, the only guy who's really been consistent, and this is going to sound like a shit, is Tompkins. Like, he's had like seven or more passes thrown to him, and he catches a couple every
Edelman.
Week. They just and Edelman. Yeah, he catches a lot of passes.
6 yard catches. I mean, that's way
but
to go.
Let's wait for it to all play out before we start saying maybe Brady's now off or his accuracy is off or whatever.
John, maybe you talked about this earlier, but how is it that the Jets have a better record than the Giants? How do you explain that?
Who are you talking to?
John wrote that in.
Oh,
I thought you were talking to John.
I thought you
John
were asking
Rook is
John
next to me.
No,
you talking to me?
Well,
I don't see any. Well, I mean, we're here.
But. Schedule is part of that, but also the Giants have played terrible.
When you throw a lot of picks or get sacked a million times to start a game, you kind of suck.
Hey, Eli finally stopped throwing picks, and he got sacked seven times.
Coughlin fired Tom Coughlin.
He could be going.
Michael in Qatar says, you still provide the best coverage in the NFL. Thank you. I still hope for Revis joining the Patriots next year. It's Belichick's greatest plan ever. Picture it, Tlaib and Revis.
That'd be fine.
I'm picturing it right now. I'm actually thinking, that could legitimately be a championship defense.
Right up until they start fighting over who they're going to cover, and it goes down the tubes.
Below is the explanation.
Wow, you really are a negative, negative person.
Below is the explanation that was put on Facebook on Sunday regarding the Patriots game at our local affiliates. Hi, sports fans. We apologize that we are not airing the Patriots game today. The NFL has an agreement with the networks that is somewhat confusing. CBS carries AFC games normally, Patriots, Jets, etc. In the event that an AFC team hosts an NFC team, the NFL awards the game to the NFC network. Fox, however, carries the Giants games, and they are also playing today at the same time the Patriots are. Again, we apologize for the confusion and frustration for Patriots fans out there. So that was their explanation.
It didn't really explain anything.
But Fox was also doing other games. Why didn't they show them? Yeah, I don't get it.
What?
So what if Fox was airing the Giants that day? They were also airing the Patriots. They chose to do the Giants.
Right. Well, they didn't explain why they had the Giants game on, and which is, so to Andy's point, is because they have to.
Is the bottom line, it also had a little sarcastic shot at the NFL.
There was no confusion in the explanation.
No, they just didn't explain the actual issue.
It explains why the Patriots game was on Fox, which it will be also in 2 weeks.
It didn't explain why they had to show said Patriots game.
Right. My guess is
Hartford
you're
is
right.
considered the New York territory. Is that what we get down to?
Yes.
This other station's out of Hartford.
Yeah. My guess is you're right. Huh. And now you're looking like, I don't even know what I'm right about.
I'm just thinking.
But it's a rule that Hartford, they have that territorial obligation that they have to show it.
Hartford's
only like 90 minutes away. Like, so what if the Patriots were in Hartford right now?
I was just going to say, if the Patriots had moved to Hartford,
then
that would be inside, quite a territory that they have now, because everything north.
That would be inside that radius, though.
Was that even allowed?
The Patriots moving to Hartford? I don't know.
Did it ever reach the point where the league was going to approve it?
Well, I mean,
some people think there was a chance it was going to happen.
The Hartford legislature voted on it, so
they vote on all. How many times do we see a new stadium was approved and then it's
exactly.
torn up?
Yeah, but that's within the legislature itself, or you know.
Because I wonder if they would have allowed you to move into somebody else's territory. Isn't that like an issue?
I don't know.
Although Al Davis has done it back and forth a few times.
Yeah. Mike writes in,
FUC in court.
If Edelman continues this type of play, what kind of contract do you see him getting?
Well,
Edelman?
What did he get this year?
Yeah.
Paul thinks loose change.
Less than that.
Oh, jeez.
Well, Fred, if he called Welker loose change, then he has to call Edelman less than
sure.
Because Edelman is not as good as Welker.
Yeah, that's true.
Come on, Paul, speak. I don't like when you're choked up like that. Let it go. Just
talk.
Well,
because I don't think
How does that make you feel?
To me, it's not fair to sit here and
only consistent aspects of the offense.
No, like what Julian Edelman is doing exactly what he is. I mean, the Patriots signed him to a 1-year deal. They obviously didn't think he was this super valuable guy, knowing that they lost Welker, knowing that Amendola had injury problems. They're telling you what they thought of him. He went out and visited another team in the Giants. They didn't offer him anything more than what the Patriots are offering. I don't think it's really like, why should I sit here like this big tough guy and beat up on Julian Edelman for being what he is? He's a nice player who is contributing, but does not make much of an impact on the game.
I'll tell you what I think. It's 2 o'clock. We have to go film our show for Comcast. So we're going to call it a day. John Rook is here with the playbook. Hey, John.
What's up?
What do you got going?
Nitpick Tuesday. Do we have any nits to pick on this one?
I think so.
Fred
thinks Brady was as bad as he's ever been.
You know what? Fred?
Yeah.
I'm not going to disagree.
Oh.
He's so negative.
He's unbelievable.
All right.
For you, it's stunning because you're usually the other way. But
well,
John, it's par for the course.
Wait, I got a quick question. Where do the batteries go in those glasses?
Right here in the sides.
Like watch batteries?
Flat batteries, yeah. See?
All right, John's got his show going on at 2 o'clock. He'll be here until 4. And then the fantasy football champs are here at 4 with all
your
fantasy questions. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.